We need somebody to take minutes today. I know Dwayne's going to record it, but we don't have a secretary. We don't have a vice secretary. Don't make eye contact.
I'll look you right in the eye. You don't have to be taking notes.
Why does everybody start saying that? I can't do notes. We
Kim,
need notes.
Kim called me and said if I record it, she'll make the notes.
I know. I know. Teresa was thinking it's nice to keep, still have some sort of notes in the house.
She can multitask.
So let's see here. We got who is not presenting on topics tonight? Bob C. is not presenting. Cam is not scheduled
he's
to present.
He's mumbling over there.
Leslie Jackson, Gail, nobody.
I'm not.
No one wants to do it.
No, present what?
So then,
be secretary.
So then we're just going to go off the audio. Everyone's okay with that. We don't have a secretary.
I think that'll be fine.
All right.
Just don't spare.
Everybody read the minutes, and unless there's discussion, everybody ready to just approve the minutes for February? Do you have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Noted. Minutes are approved.
That was Gail.
Kyle's going to remind us.
I wasn't
here.
I know. Yeah, he is.
But I didn't say anything.
Well, I'm going to remind him. Hold on. Okay. Remind you of what? We have an agenda. We have time on it. We have time here, and we'll do our best to stay on time, right?
You know, we go off a little bit, but it kind of helps keep people come back.
So I'll give 1 minute. 1 minute. If we're
1 minute left?
Yeah, 1 minute left, and we can work from there.
And then I guess you got to start going on the other side. 1 minute over?
Yeah, I can. I know how to do that.
So kudos. Let's start with Kay.
I wanted to give a kudos to Doug Evers. He came to our safety committee meeting as kind of a resource. And then I wanted to kudos for people who come to the meeting that aren't board members. Thank you for coming.
Awesome. Gail?
Am I next? Kudos to Dwayne. Thank you so much for the new lock on the shed and the bulletin board that is enclosed.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, that lock is slick.
The
bulletin board. We're
moving up in the world.
To Kyle for driving us to the Sharks game. Appreciated that. To Kim Sides for who's out of town but sent the women's workout and cruise yesterday. So working on her time off.
Awesome. Thank you. I got to go with Yoko on this one. There was a small team of us that, and I'll talk about this in a moment, but you know our corporation is in suspense, and so we are going through a reviver. We have to revive the corporation, so we have a reviver binder. So she put in a lot of work because she's got a lot of history with the club. And others, you know, Phil and Teresa and Phil Hebner as well. But thanks to Yoko for that.
Same for me. Basically, the team that helped us get through this CAPS issue, primarily Yoko, Ty, Phil, Bob Darling, and Kim gave me their old records from when they were treasurers. Colleen Crowley helped me make labels so we could file everything, and Phil turned the other way when I saw the supplies to file everything.
It's a donation.
Yeah, lots of people helped us get through this.
I'd have to go with Yoko, too. That was the same thing. She really stepped up and helped us find this guy, Phil, who can advise us on the tax issues and getting all that filed. And also Teresa for all that, because there's a lot of work on her part and you as well.
Great.
I was going to kudos to Teresa for being an awesome treasurer, for doing all the work that she does behind the scenes. I don't know if anyone realizes how much work being a good treasurer is. It's a lot of work. Thank you.
That's awesome. Bob?
Wayne for chasing after the Tahitian.
Cool.
Ty for putting together the Sharks event.
Good time. Awesome. That was great. Coach has stepped out. We're going to switch the agenda.
Hey, I got it.
Wait,
sorry.
Wait.
I'm just going on something like never remember. Sorry. Dwayne.
And ironically, it's you.
Oh. I'm glad we didn't miss that.
For towing up to Craig's.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, you're welcome. Awesome. And we get to do that again.
Yeah.
Where did the canoe sell to?
Craig's in Watsonville. He's got a
Watsonville. Okay.
He's got a shop.
That was my other kudos that I couldn't
remember. Kudos to Craig.
tricky trailer work is what that was.
Ooh. Ty is the master.
He is.
Hold that in there. So, okay, we're all good on that. I'm going to switch the agenda up because...
Coach is back. Want to give him
Coach, you got a kudo for the house?
Yeah, to the entire board on all the decisions made about Mike and based on recent events. I think you have been a good call on it, so thank you.
So we're going to move agenda item number 10 up to the number 2 for Lori...
Thank
sorry
you.
About that.
No,
oh,
it's not Sanchez.
She's been passionate about, and I'm calling it a community resources page, but
yeah.
And I sent this her summary out a little late today. I apologize, Lori.
Yeah. So it looks like this. It says two new opportunities to strengthen our Ohana. Did folks have a chance to read it? So the two ideas are that we have a community email, because technically the current email is supposed to be for OSC-related business and events and activities only. And even with the recent reminder Ty sent out, many of us still use it for the community at large concept, which has been that way for years, but technically it's not supposed to be that way. So what I'm proposing, and we've this is not a brand new idea, but I just want to do it, is that there be an OSC Ohana community email, and people can opt in to be on it or not, and Dwayne's going to help with the technical part of it, and I'm willing to manage it. So what it means is for our current members, I would send, well, before I get to that, so that's the email piece. Do people have comments or questions about that? It's like if you have extra tomatoes or you need a ride to a doctor or whatever, you've got, you know, there's a great speaker coming to town, you're having a party, whatever it is, you want help moving furniture, that email would be about that and not using the OSC email. And then the second option is to have a members directory where we have a lot of talented people in our club and a lot of professionals, and why not support each other in whatever business we're doing, real estate, being an attorney, carpentry, childcare, dog sitting, walking, whatever. And so to have a directory that would be linked to the members page where people could promote their service or what they have to share to the club. So those are the two ideas, and of course it's optional. So for the email, for the current members, well, for the email and the business directory, for the current members, I would send an email out to all the members, and it would have those two questions. Do you want to participate in the email? Do you want to participate in the directory? And then specifics about what they need to do to participate or not, like really simple. And then for the new members, Dwayne's going to add... two boxes on the online membership thing that ask those two questions. On the membership dues letter, which I think, are you in charge of that now? Yeah, so a little adjustment will need to be made there to add those two questions. And then on the website, on the stay informed paragraph on the homepage, there's that little paragraph, we'll just update that a little bit as well. And the language is in the email. Basically, just to talk about that there is the OSC business type email, and then they have two other options. So that's the proposal. And like I said, I'm willing to manage it, but Dwayne's got to train me first, which he's willing to do.
Super easy.
Yeah.
That's great. I like the ideas. Anybody have any input?
No, we have a minute.
Oh, sorry. I mean, my take on it is, you know, I'm stoked that the Lord wants to head this up and, you know, just go for it because,
okay,
you know, we really need to kind of keep that traffic on the club-wide membership email list, you know, to a minimum. So this is the solution.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And
yes,
so
it.
I suppose we should, I don't know if we need a board resolution or we just all, somebody want to make a motion.
I make a motion that we accept Lori's proposal about having the two additional OSC membership email lists added to our website and whatever else.
Second it.
Sure, I'll second
it.
Wait
until.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And abstained? Motion passes.
Thank
you,
Lori.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll be in touch. You'll hear from my people. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Just want to just kind of have a quick discussion or just a couple bullet point reminders on protocol. And I know Teresa has a couple comments she wants to make as it relates to the treasury. Treasurer. It is a treasury. OSC treasury. Just kind of the protocol in terms of who sets what policy, who enforces what policy. And basically, the way I see it is that really only the board sets policy, and really only the board enforces policy. Now, there's kind of an exception. We give a little bit wider latitude to head coach in terms of the racing team, what commitments people need to make, what canoes to use, what races we're doing. So a little more leeway with that position. But with the other positions, and that relates to committees, they're just informational entities, and the board makes the decisions. So there really are two different types of committees that we can work with. One's an executive committee that's set up by board resolution, and that committee can have whatever authority or tasks that we want it to, and they can be the rule maker and enforcer and everything. And the other type of committee is more of an ad hoc committee, which is set up. Right now we have two of those. We have an events committee and we have a safety committee, which is set up to just do some research on a subject matter, provide some recommendations to the board, and we can decide to adopt, modify, or define, or not even discuss. So just to kind of set up that protocol in terms of how the hierarchy works. And actually, that was a great example that Lori just gave, because she's going to do this and she's going to manage it, but she said that she will send that email out to set this up. Personally, I think that email probably should come from me to the club, saying this is a new program that we're introducing. Lori is your contact person. Take it away, Lori. Versus having club members, board or not, come into the mix and say, this is what we are now doing, because then the membership at large says, well, where did that come from? So that was actually a perfect example of how that should come kind of from one person, you know. So, and I think the same thing goes for a rule violation, a rule enforcement, should come through one person, certainly a head coach as it relates to those specific topics, and a club. Why we talked about, we're going to do that reminder for the marine life and stuff, and Leslie brought it up, and I'm like, oh, Leslie, send an email out about that, and then quickly thought, what, hold on, let's figure out how we want to say it, and then I will put it out to the club, you know, so it's a little more of a uniform presentation to the membership that way,
and then
I can take the heat for it.
You're also empowering the person who's in charge of that, or who's created the committee, to say, I'm authorizing this, or the board's authorized it, and that's also helpful, I think, done the work to say, hey,
to have some credit.
You have some
absolutely
credit, and
we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was a good example that Lori just gave. So anyway, that's my kind of two cents on the protocol, and I know that there's some, Teresa had some comments on that in terms of
the treasurer report section, so we can wait until that section.
You can open with that if you want, since you're on protocol.
Okay.
I need a copy.
Hold on. So are we done on that line and going to treasurer report?
Yeah, I mean that line item certainly, if people want to comment on it, it's not really a resolution or anything.
Okay.
That we're making there. It's just a
keep
comment.
In track.
All that stuff. What you said is all.
Sure.
It's all in the bylaws. Like, you know, what the president's authorized to do, what the officers are authorized to do, and then the setting up of committees.
That's all the print that.
Just a reminder.
It needs to be followed, and people sometimes are not maybe aware.
Jackson, you got one.
If they haven't read it, you know, so. If they didn't know it existed, if they didn't read it, then.
It's on our website.
I know, but that's...
Nobody reads it.
I'm with Dwayne on that. Sometimes we have to speak to people, information.
You're like, wrist, man.
Well, okay, so, yes, Kyle, that topic is now over.
So we're on to Treasury,
okay.
And I will start with the technical part.
Okay.
So just a few things. Job's not the easiest one, so whatever people can do to help me, I would appreciate it. One thing, every now and then we get the online member form where somebody says their payment was given in person. No clue what that means personally, and one time it was a person I never saw, and I have no clue if in person meant that they gave it to another member or what, but maybe 2 weeks after the fact, the check appeared in the box all mangled. I don't actually know if the person themselves held onto it or if they handed it off, but just a reminder, nobody should be accepting OSC funds except for me, and if somebody does give another board member a check, it goes in the box like immediately, not a week later, because it's not fun having to track down money.
Should we take that option off, the in-person thing?
I don't think so.
Well, in-person to Teresa.
Yeah, in person to me is totally valid. In person to Ty is valid if Ty turns around and puts it in the box and things like that. Just
We didn't have that originally, and we added it because exactly what you just said happened. You know, so.
Right. I mean, and I know it's too hard to have an option of who did you give it to. That's way too difficult. But no, that's fine. It's more of a, as everybody knows, if you get money, pass it along right away. So I'm not hunting it down.
Can it say in person or to deliver to Teresa
to
only
Teresa.
Or something? Or
yeah,
instead of in
or,
person.
I feel that it should be two options because you pay online or you send it to the P.O.
box,
which is secure.
That box.
I would never, if you run a company, you'd never have an employee hand a check to anybody.
Yeah, let's just take it off.
Okay.
I mean, just
yeah,
the way it is. It's just like,
yeah.
It's not because they're going to steal it, it's because stuff gets lost. And
yeah.
People stick up
in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all done
well,
it, right?
And there have been people who were about to paddle, they'd come up to me and say, look, I have a check, and I'm like,
put it in the box.
Please put it in the box, I can't accept it right now. If they reach me 20 minutes before paddle, then yeah, I can put it in my, you know, on the money pouch, but yeah, half the time I divert people straight to the box and say, yeah, not right now, I can't, I have no place to put it. So that's number one. Number two is the only people who, per bylaws, can make decisions and make contracts with people are Ty and I in terms of money. So funds really should not be getting bypassed, or they should not bypass the treasurer. So if you're going to collect money, it has to go to me. None of this, collect money and spend it how I see fit. So, Dave, one example of this is the video money. You said that money went to OSC, but that money never went through me whatsoever. And I understand you wanted to offset the gas for getting Tahitian, but there's, you know, we have the rules. And if you were gonna make deals with the guys, on the side, that's, you know, to offset the gas cost, that's one thing, but to say, to announce to people that it goes to OSC, because the email to the woman who said the money went to OSC, that money never went to me, and so I have no clue what that is. And as a follow-up to that, when I talked to Jimmy about the money, he said that for the women who cannot make the paddle day, he was in Monterey, so he was willing to come out and do an extra paddle day for the women. So people like, Gail, you pay to watch the video.
I've never
but you did write the
yes.
check. So
yeah.
If he comes and you're able to go to that,
mm-hmm.
that money you paid, that goes to Jimmy. I'm not going to expect him
right.
to pay $65 to attend that clinic when you already paid $45. So if he did that for the men, that money hasn't been kept track of. That money just has been spent already on other things. So just, anyway, sorry. It seems like there's been a lot of bypassing the treasurer on money. So
what's the steps? What's the protocol?
The rules are any OSC funds has to go through me.
Just,
and
you know,
if anybody wants a reimbursement, they have to
come
to me. And it's totally fine to say, hey, I spent this amount of money and I got this amount of money. Is it a wash? That's great, but I have to be told so I can record it because we've got our accounting system. I've been, like, Ty just gave me a whole bunch of, okay, I spent this. I owe this. Here's a check for 45 for what it, that's fine, but he gave me a breakdown so in the accounting system I can at least keep track of.
Well, because you've got line items and everything.
Yeah, we've got the line items. The accounting system is very complex.
Okay.
So it's I need to know more than, here's $10 I owe you. I needed to know how much was this, how much was that, what's this. So, and this was always the procedure, but it just needs to get followed. That's all.
All right, yeah, just to make clarification, so when I sent out that email to everybody about the $45 per video, I specifically stated that those were going to go to jerseys for the Jacob's Heart and the Live Like Jay. Then I let everyone know that it actually went towards gas going down and back to go bring up the Tahitian canoe. For the women, I said Kim and Yoko, I said, you guys, that's your guys' funds, you guys do what it is. If you guys want to, you can put it in the kiddie pool for the women. This wasn't something where OSC set up a committee and said, let's go ahead and videotape this clinic and that and then offer it to everybody. It was those people that actually videotaped it. For me, I had to sit there and take my time and sit there and hold the camera up for over 2 hours. And so I actually videotaped it, collected the funds, and then I was actually going to go towards the jerseys. But instead, I'm having to go all the way down to Ventura, pick up a canoe, bring it all the way back, and then go. So I said, hey, this is what the funds are going for. The women should still actually have those funds. So
that's great, but in your email, you did not say, you said the money went to Outrigger Santa Cruz. The money did not be, I mean, if it went to Outrigger Santa Cruz, then it needed to get bypassed, go through me, and I'm not unreasonable about approving reimbursements. So, but I need to be made aware of this and things like that, and even with the women's funds, really, it's not at the coach's discretion how that does get spent. It'd be great if that's how it gets spent, but that's not, you know, it's part of the board's decision of how funds get spent. So, but just saying that money is coming to OSC and then not going through proper channels, just, it makes my life much more difficult.
Also,
okay.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Also, too, I mean, we just went through an audit for a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can use personal funds out of, like you can't write a check to yourself for anything. It has to be approved by the board.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing, too, is we can't be, like, convoluting money amongst ourselves. So let's say you have a nonprofit, you have a bank account. You can't take money for yourself out of that. It has to be documented where it goes. So that's another thing to be aware of that we dot all our I's and cross all our T's.
Especially with the problems we've been having with the government right now. So we need to be...
How do you handle that? Do you have, like, people do expense reports and
yes.
stuff like that?
So
I mean, I hate to make things more complicated,
no, so
but it makes more sense to me.
So a lot of times, like, even for, like I've done for Teresa, like I did some budget printing, but I paid my dues, but I made a notation on it. This is what my dues are.
Yeah.
This is my... And I have my receipts in the envelope. You have to always supply receipts.
Yep.
And you have to fill out an expense form. Or you can put it on a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be, you know. I mean, for us, we put it on an employee expense form. Because,
sure.
But for here, as long as we can document it and there's receipts for it.
Right.
And you wrote out how you did yours today. It's clear. You know, there's no convoluted of funds in the sense where there could be questions asked.
Right, and I've
so
been pretty strict about receipts and documenting everything.
So how about if you, at a board meeting every month, just make that a point that you clear up any confusion? Like for Dave, I mean, I certainly trust him, there's no issue. Sometimes things are just moving fast. So if you account for it at the board meeting, right, in writing or produce whatever, I think you want to let him give him the flexibility to be kind of crazy and dynamic like he is.
So I have a saying, and I'm sorry, I'm going to swear again. I don't say it out loud because I use it in visuals, but no one will get it. It's called slow the fuck down. and that's, you know, that's on, you know, we don't, I don't use that word. I'm a swearing person. But what I do, I'm
on record.
But if I gave you the initials, you would be able to understand what I'm saying. It's slowing it down. It's slowing it down and taking the time to do it. You know.
Yeah.
So I think speed the fuck up is good.
Well, it's just, that's what I think the point is, we just really need to clean up our numbers and what we've done over the last two or three weeks. And, you know, you all have, and I'll go into this a little bit later, but you all understand our corporation is in suspense.
Yeah.
We can't operate. We can collect money, but we can't open accounts or buy real estate, so darn. But until that gets resolved, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be, but I suppose it's possible that they say you were no longer qualified because we had $84,000 come through our account last year. And so,
or we're going to do an audit on you.
Or we're going to do an audit, and then we have... I'll get into that in a little bit, but
yeah.
The point is
important. No, I agree, but I want to be clear that I'm reading my email, and it specifically says, money will go towards offsetting costs of Live Like Jake, OSC jerseys we are working on. There's nowhere in this email does it say that the money was going to OSC.
I don't know about the women's email. You said the money does not go to Pu'akea, it goes to OSC, and then you write something about jerseys, but then the jersey part... When you say it goes to OSC, you actually do not have the power to say it goes to this. You can go to the board and say, this is where this, you know, here's money. I videotaped it. I would like to make the decision. Here it is. Please use it towards this. And the board can say, yeah, and you probably would. But you don't actually have that power to do that. And in the email, you did say, the one the woman once said, not to go, okay, it goes to OSC. Because I don't get the men's email, so that was something. It was through the woman's email. I saw that. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you
he created
right
a PayPal, and I was like, why did they create a PayPal account? OSC has a PayPal account. Where's the money? What's going on? You know. So when I get surprises like that.
So my question is: so is it your own PayPal account that you opened up, or how did that, or was it?
Yeah, it went to my PayPal account.
Your PayPal
account.
I'm
the one that was expensing the jerseys. I'm the one that's designing the jerseys. So instead of using that for the jerseys, I just use that to cover the cost of going down, picking up the teas and canoeing, coming back. So the gas alone on that is $150 for a round trip, so it turned out to be $300.
So why?
And then I sent out an email and let everyone know that that's what I'm actually going to be doing instead of putting those costs towards the jerseys.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see
but
that.
But the women's,
I
haven't done anything with the women's.
Oh.
The women's, I haven't done anything with the women's. So with the men's, I was clear in stating that this is what it's going towards. And then I adjusted it because I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep forking out my own funds
right.
to be able to do this. So I sent out an email and said, hey, just let you know I'm using these funds for the actual travel expenses. The women's, Kim and Yoko, sent me a thing that says, what are we supposed to do with the money? And I said, well, you guys made the video. You guys collected it. You know, you could, here's an idea. You could use it for possibly for... the women to do for, you know, special event or offsetting, you know, chase boats and stuff like that, but I left it entirely for the women, so I never saw a dollar of that. And so Yoko and Kim still have those funds. I don't have those.
So my question is, why didn't the club reimburse you for your mileage to go down there?
It's so, there's so much going on between Jacob's Heart going down and trying to do the TEs and trying to collect funds, trying to get this pushed through. Live Like Jay, it's everything like Bob's saying. It's happening so fast. I mean, your suggestion of slowing down is great, but it's almost impossible.
But there's procedures.
But Dave, you should have to spend your own money to go down south to get a canoe and then take it back down, you know, go down south and come back and go back. I mean, this is something for us to try. We got to try it, and this is something that you're proposing, and this is our way for us to get in a canoe and try it out. Your gas should be reimbursed by the club.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. Slow down.
I get that. I want to be clear. In the video, I was clear that this is what it's going to be for. I was the one that videotaped it. I was the one that was standing up. There's nothing. I asked Jimmy and that, can I videotape it? So yeah, videotape it and that. Then I put it out for those because everybody that paid $65 for the clinic, I go, it's not going to be fair for people to have access to a completely videotaped clinic and not pay anything. So I figured that could go to help offset the jerseys because I've had to pay for those jerseys myself in the past for Jacob's Heart and that. So I figured, okay, this is a great way to raise those funds. Now that didn't go through the club because it was my own doing to videotape. It was my own process of videotaping. The funds weren't, no, there's no check written out to OSC. I never said this was going to OSC. this was going to offset the jerseys, the OSC Jacob's Heart, the OSC Live Like J jerseys.
So when the guys pay their $65, who did they pay?
Not going out to the clinic. I collected a check from each individual, and then I gave that total to Teresa.
That's on the
Teresa
report.
Put that total for them. I was the one that made that decision. I'm going to stand up, hold my camera up, and videotape for over 2 hours. And then so I'm like, this is a great way to actually help offset the cost of the jerseys instead of coming out of my pocket.
Okay.
But yeah, that's why I came. So if it was different, if it was like if people were writing me a check that said OSC,
mm-hmm.
and then, yeah, that goes straight to Teresa. But this was something that I did on the side as a way to help basically offset costs. But it wasn't something that it was like a check made out to OSC. But I get it. I'm totally fine with doing that in the future. I just want to make sure that I'm clear that this isn't some malicious way of handling anything.
Oh, no.
No,
they're just talking about protocol.
It's just
talking
about having questions.
Protocol and not bypassing so that this isn't the only instance. There have been a lot of things that after the fact I found out about that I need to be involved in. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Keep me in the loop on stuff.
Yeah, totally.
So, then just really quick on protocol. So, I've tried my best to push the people, asking people to pay by check or cash and avoiding PayPal, but the last surge was almost all PayPal because, like, every race membership costs us $7 if they do PayPal. So, last year we lost $800 about in PayPal. So, just if other people are asking people to pay dues, spread the word. We prefer cash or check.
But it's not a loss. It's an expense.
It's
an expense. Whenever you
but
take credit cards,
there's
interest expenses. There's credit card check expenses. And you gotta boil that into to everything. You just say it's a convenience factor for people, and I.
You know. Right.
Well, why don't you charge them PayPal fee?
You can't really do that.
That's where I step in. It's legal to charge them. It's legal to give people the option of what to pay and then how they're paying it.
I thought at one time, you're the expert on this, at one time there was a law that said you can't charge extra for using a credit card.
Surcharging is legal in California, but it has to be, you have to give them the option. So you can give them the cash price, credit price. That's how it's done.
Yeah,
so that's why we drive into a gas station, we have two options.
Same way.
Cash price, credit price. So we can up that, we won't even talk about it. Yeah.
Well, it's just saying if people spread the word, it's preferred because it minimizes our expenses.
Venmo? Because there's no fee there.
Oh, yeah.
So we might want to look at that.
No, what he's saying is you
Venmo
can,
is another
you can
way
change the way we do it next
yeah.
year
yeah.
so that you
yeah.
say,
yeah.
if you
that
pay this way, your
research.
Dues are 210.
Yeah.
If you pay this way,
it's
not
credit card.
So maybe in the fall when we reassess what our dues fees are,
yeah.
then we can...
We talked about this last year, too, and I think at the end of the day we were like, it's too complicated. We'll just factor in the cost for PayPal and spread it out across everything,
yeah.
you know, just to make your life easier.
Right, and it's more of a matter of minimizing expenses. It's not the end of the world. We're doing fine, but
yeah, we totally hear you, and we'll say you know we prefer that, but yeah, I have to also agree. It's like
it's a cost.
We wouldn't get those payments from some people if they didn't go through PayPal. So it's
well,
a thing that we.
Encourage people to write a check.
Okay, so on to the actual report. So I included on this, you know, our profit and loss and our balance sheet, but the first page I kind of consolidated it and I put what our budget was, but and compared to how we're doing right now. The numbers in blue are actually ones where I think what we originally budgeted needs to change. So those are the new values. So like the club store, we had a lot, about $800 of 2017 sales that didn't get deposited until this year. So the club store, I upped, you know, what I thought we would get for this year. So we're right now, as of Friday when I did this, we were at 120 paid members, 39 recs, 74 racers, 7 juniors. Let's see. So on the MBX income, I kept it still high, but I think that it's really ambitious and it's unlikely we're actually going to get that much profit. So that's why I've got a little note there. Then, and donations fundraising, $750 of that money is actually from the MyGAR paddle that Dave has kind of arranged as fundraising, so it's higher than what we would expect. Then, in the expenses, our harbor rent is increasing by 2%, and also I noticed going through paperwork that we've only been paying rent on 8 canoes instead of 9. So I'm going to go and increase that, so our rent's going to go up even more than we had budgeted for. So so I increased the amount of harbor rent for the year based on that. Then, let's see. I created a new category for safety equipment and radios since we broke that off of originally. That was part of OC6 repair and maintenance, so I just separated that out and added a little bit extra there because we bought... Was it a new radio battery? And I know a few of the PFDs are shot, so we're going to have to probably, after when we have Club Workday, we're going to have to count our PFDs and possibly increase that. And then admin costs, I increased that because we had some a cost associated with getting our corporate reinstated. I don't know what it's going to end up being, so I just padded it. And also, I realized that the TeamSnap subscriptions in last year's budget were not, they were in a different fund, so those are now under admin, so I increased the budget there for that. And I also increased his coaches awards in my boat parade because we had things from 2017 that didn't get expensed until this year, so I included those and added a marketing section. So but based on kind of all the numbers, it's still, I'm still hoping that we're going to have a surplus of, you know, $3,000 to $5,000, depending on NBX. You know, it's about $5,000 for NBX doing what I think it will. But we're doing not too bad on membership dues. We're at a little over $14,000. I was hoping that we would actually be quite a bit more by now, since the deadline to pay is next weekend. So we're not quite as high as I'd like, but you know, 120 paid members is not too bad, because we usually get a crop in November from the Learn to Paddle class, and we normally have 10 people prepay. You know, in December they pay 20 for the 2019.
We'll get more juniors too. They haven't really started yet, so
yeah,
when that starts, I'm sure we'll get more.
Although those are only $75, so they're not as...
Well, and the announcement went out. I mean, the invitation went out for the programs, and so that's a bummer. There's only 7 and only 39 rec. We had 36 people on the water just the other day.
Yeah. Well, we have had a lot of rec people that we have talked into converting to racer dues.
Oh, okay.
So we there are a few of us racers who attend rec regularly and top up the race program to get extra money out of them.
Awesome.
Do I have kids to meet or something?
So does anybody have any questions about this? Right now, or as of Friday, our checking account was at, let me see, $25,000 as of Friday. Any questions? Anybody want to approve the report?
I couldn't get the words out.
I'll approve it. I'll make a motion to approve the treasurer's report summary.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstain? Treasurer's report is approved. So I'll just be really. I'm just going to be really quick on this because. This binder is everything that got submitted this week, and it included tax returns for 2016. It included a reviver application to revive the corporation. It included a registry of charitable trusts, because we've been operating without a charitable trust registration number. So we applied for that.
This is all for the state, let's be clear.
This is all for the state, yeah. And so I don't know, each one of these steps claim a 90-day possible 90-day term.
I know it can be done quicker than that.
Okay, so you got to have a charitable trust number before they'll look at the reviver application, and you have to file your tax returns before they'll look at the CT number. So we filed short form tax returns from 2010 through 2015 because our income was below the $25,000 or $50,000, but we decided for 2016 it was above that, so we had to go with a full form, and that's why we hired an accountant to do that and, you know, did the full tax return form for us. And then now we're applying for our tax exempt status. That's where we are. And then, so
for the state?
For the state.
Okay.
The federal has not suspended us. We still have that status. But you have to have the state. It's been hours. Let me just put it that way. Phone calls, hotlines, and helps, and CPAs. And then finally, it all went out in these big old folders last week. So checks in the mail. We'll see how it goes. And we've only spent...
So far, it's only been $35. We haven't paid the CPA yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's $125, which is, of course, a screaming deal for a CPA. Yeah. He's spent a lot of time on this, and Yoko, Yoko's friends.
Yoko, he talked him for us.
The penalty could very well be $40 a year, which would be 2016, really, for that, when we
file. Still got to file this year. We can't.
And then we still have to do 17.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could file an extension, but we should probably just get
just
on top
it.
And get it done.
Well,
we
all know how to do it now.
It's on the...
May 15th or something?
Yeah,
the date?
Later, yeah.
For the extension?
For the filing.
For filing.
What happened to the month?
Corporations are March 16th.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah. Excuse me, for 5 minutes, I gotta go check something.
Okay, we won't vote while you're out.
So the status is you've submitted everything for the reviver.
Everything from 2010 through 2016.
Okay.
And the applications for the reviver and the charitable trust number have all been sent. I don't know what order they need to be reviewed. They go to all different departments. Mm-hmm.
And you're the guy that they're going to call back? Or
so I don't get this whole charitable
trust. Yeah, my signature is on all these taxes.
Like, so from my understanding, like, so you set the corporation up and you go to the federal government, and then it's a tax status thing, right? You're 501(c) or you're an S-corp or whatever. It's strictly an IRS thing. So that's the way the federal does it. When you do... when you create a corporation in the state, it's a similar kind of thing, but I thought you were using your tax status from the federal government as your status with the state that you're tax exempt, which is how they do it with a corporation. Let's say I want to have an S corp, right, which is special tax status. I just say, I've got my number, here's my number from the feds, I'm an S corp, or I'm a 501(c), and then you give it to the state, and they say, okay, done. So.
Well,
I thought charitable trust was something completely different.
So it may be that easy, because part of the application was the federal determination letter.
I'm just worried.
And that's been sent.
Yeah, that's how I understood it. This whole charitable trust thing is something different. My understanding is we're not a charitable trust. Which
we're
is
not. We're
different
not.
Entity.
You can't operate as a nonprofit in California without that registration number.
That must be something new.
And
yeah,
if you've been operating as an unregistered
that.
Entity in California for previous years, you must file past our F1 reports to clear up the delinquent status. These are all the hotlines and the CPA, and all these people have been telling us that.
Okay.
You all want to take it up and go argue with somebody else about
it? No.
The applications are out. So.
Yeah. I'm not arguing the point more than I'm just trying
that
to
That CT number came up out of the blue. It's like, who knows anything about a CT number?
Yeah, charitable trust, that's interesting. That must be something new. I haven't heard
anyway,
of
it. They all say we need one. They referenced our corporate number, and they say, yeah, you are not registered with our office. You need to be. So really, what can happen to us right now is if our bank account finds out, which they just have to do a search, you can list all the suspended corporations, and they'll see us. If they do that search, or when they do it, they probably do it random audits, then they'll freeze our account. So they'll freeze the account. And we cannot open an account. We can't open an account, we can't sue anybody, and we can't buy or sell real estate. That's what we cannot do right now.
You can't move assets, you can't sell anything, you can't write checks, you can't.
But
so
the hotline did encourage us to
continue.
Could
we sell like a commute if we wanted to sell a commute?
No.
Because that's an asset.
No, can't do anything.
Well, they weren't clear on that. I said, well, should we stop collecting dues? She said, no, you should continue collecting dues, because as soon as you stop that, you are now no longer performing the way you said you would perform in your federal determination.
Yeah, we just need to go to
dues. So we need to continue doing what we're doing. Can we buy or sell a commute? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We're just going to get it fixed.
We're going to get it fixed. We are getting things fixed. So the next step, we're reviving the corporation. We need to change the name at the federal level because the feds have our old name, and that's easy.
It's easy. It's just on the when we do the return, there's a little box you check. I showed Yoko that. You just check the box, say, here's the new name. Should have been done 6 years ago.
There is a revised 501c form that has the new name.
Yeah.
That was done years back.
Yeah, so what happened was that when, because we don't file a tax, I looked this up, so because we've never filed a tax return with the feds, right, you send it in the cart. It's
right.
Simple. There's no easy way when you send it in the cart to change the name. So when you go in and do a search on the IRS database, it still has the old club name, right? Just that's the way it is.
Well, we haven't sent the card since 2010.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, well, the federal ones got sent in because they're all
okay.
Listed except
that's
for
the
last
state
year. It's just the state. All the federal stuff is up to date as far as we can tell. But if we file a tax return, which we should have probably done last year, but we'll do it this year. Little box, you write the name in, done.
Okay.
Simple.
But
so,
I am telling you that we did go through the.
I know. Doesn't mean that
steps.
It's the,
it didn't
the
transfer.
Government.
Whatever.
I know it's the government.
Yeah, okay.
It's just the way it is. So,
so anyway, we're going to change that name. Phil's going to change that name for us, and we'll have the right name. And then there's a whole discussion on whether we need a seller's permit and declare
sales tax.
I'd like to discuss that because I think it's important.
We should be.
So
should we just do it?
Yeah, you should
yes.
do it. And here's the reason why. It's it's one thing where we collect money and say this is a donation and all that. Once we started selling merchandise and doing other things, it's basically a store, right?
Yeah.
And so the danger is you get caught. And then what happens? The same thing happens. They will suspend the corporation. I can tell you right now, because I know a guy that happened to. You don't have a seller's permit. They'll come in and they'll shut you down. Same thing will happen all over again.
So we should
get
a seller's
off.
Permit.
You just have to apply for it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of tech, but we're not selling so much stuff, but it'll just make it easier for us. We have to collect sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
But what it means is when we go to buy merchandise, we have the seller's permit. We don't get charged tax on the stuff we buy that we're going to resell.
So can you add sales? I mean, once we decide, is it easy to add sales tax to the
I already did that originally, and we went through this discussion, and it was like, no, we don't need to. And I was like, yeah, we do. And like, no, you need to. So I turned it off.
I would actually prefer if we had the sales tax wrapped into the price of the items, because when we deal with cash sales on site, you know, we don't have to deal with change and odd numbers. And from the research I did, I found some the Board of Equalization had a nonprofit guide, and it said that was totally fine to wrap the tax into the item as long as we say that includes tax rounded to the nearest mill or something.
Okay, here's the issue though. For the online thing, you have to collect tax from whatever region that the customer is in. So it's not a single number.
It makes
it harder.
Yeah.
PayPal takes care of all that for you.
Yeah. It's by county and it's by town. So there's an most of the applications, like we have a
PayPal takes a zip code.
Yeah, they take
out
the zip code. They have it all dialed in. And the thing is that let's say the tax changes in Santa Cruz. We're actually discussing that. The tax goes up, right? Now you've baked that in, and now you've got to raise the price. And so this stuff changes.
Which makes sense, though.
I know. I'm just telling you what will happen, which is if you sell through PayPal. It's not a problem if we're selling everything here, right? And if you say everything's sold here, that's one thing. We don't ship to anybody.
Right. Well,
can we say that if you buy it from us directly, we won't charge you the sales tax?
No.
If you buy it from us directly, it's built in, then we can say that.
We have two different.
We still have to collect and remit the tax.
You have to actually do a return. And once you start collecting enough of it, like we do it monthly. You probably have to do it quarterly to start with.
You have to
do a deposit. And the deposit is $800 a year.
The seller's permit said there was no fee, but they would estimate how much they want a deposit.
It's not true. They charge you $800. I can tell you that.
The one I saw said no fee. It wasn't a fee. They said they would, based on how much business you do, they would ask.
Yeah.
I'm saying
it's not a fee. It's a deposit. That's how they.
Look into that.
We need to decide as a board if we're going to have a seller's permit.
We need a seller's permit.
Okay,
yes.
So does somebody want to make
a
motion?
A
so then once we do that, then we
will
go figure it out.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
This is very complicated, and I don't feel like we should just shoehorn it into this meeting. Let's do it next meeting and have a real analysis and have somebody
have somebody come
answers.
With a proposal of what it will take and what it should be and have it written out. Sort of
thank you for volunteering.
I'll do it. I'll do it because we've been doing it for 15
yes.
years, right? We do, and I mean, we collect a lot of sales tax, and sometimes we're collecting, you know, $20,000 to $25,000 from one guy.
But I want to make sure everyone understands collecting is just one part of it. Then
okay.
we have to pay it. That topic has been tabled.
Okay, I'll come with a short, less than one page.
That topic has been tabled
to
next meeting. Dwayne,
equipment. Yeah, whatever. Stuff got broke, stuff got fixed. The end. Questions?
Well, we're going to make up time here.
Okay. I need to work out with you to get up to Craig's and
we'll
come
do
back.
This week,
yeah.
Yeah,
great. So just let me know when
okay.
I'm available anytime.
That's fine. Okay. That's it?
And then, which one of the Bradleys can get rigged?
Let's talk about that. So what we did when we did the double hole is we took those off and we reused them. Rather than derig everything, we reused them on other stuff, right? So we put one back together. The other one that needs to go back together is on Kaholo, because I have the refinished Yakos for Kaholo, which are done, okay? So what we should do is take as a unit off of Kaholo, put that back on whatever striker.
The AMA is what you
all,
say.
All the whole thing, right?
Nappy.
Whatever one
okay.
you guys didn't do, right? Boom. Leave Kaholo with nothing until we get the Yakos from me, because it has its own AMA with its own name on it and stuff. So we should get that back together, right?
Okay.
And then all the other stuff is for the two that are up at Craig's. They're sitting over on the side, ready to go back on those when they get back. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So,
a lot of switcheroo going on, but whatever.
Hey, Coach, are the men going to do that then on Tuesday?
Yeah, what we're doing.
Right, so you heard what I just said, right? You're just going to take the whole already rigged thing off Kaholo, boop, and that goes back on the striker.
And Kaholo will be with nothing.
With nothing until...
Striker,
which
right.
one did you do?
I think it's Brennan Nappy.
Make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So, are we going to do a club work day? I mean, not yet, but it's
yes.
not as hard. We're deep into the season already.
Can we just not?
We
well,
could
we
just not.
Do,
but
we
did you
have
open
to
up
the
same day? It's about
shed.
Blows
we
out
have to go through VFDs and...
Yeah, great. So we have the work day, we get the shed all nice, and then as soon as
yeah.
we come back from
poof.
Down south, boom, it's all back to the way it was. So, whatever.
So, after the rig run.
Yeah.
Do you
after
the rig run?
Dump the shed and restack it. Almost everything comes out of it.
And then it'll be great until we come back from the race after that.
People just need to, you know, pick up after themselves.
Instead of one work day a year, how about we just have the attitude of take care of the shit all year long?
Every
365.
Okay, you
right?
want to send that out?
Right?
You take
I mean,
bath
if, you,
out,
I'll send that out.
If you gave your kid a bath once a year, would you be a good parent?
All right, so anything on the website, right?
South Carolina. Website.
Anything on the website?
Define what a bath
stuff
is.
Stuff was added, stuff was changed.
All right.
The end.
On April 21st, we're doing a pig run. This is just simply an announcement. I
so that wasn't a typo of the pig run, right?
You have to come with your own
pig.
Don't go to Santa Barbara.
Do I need
to
come with your own pig
run? We don't know if that's the name, but we're going to have Phil Lewis is roasting a pig in Moss Landing at the country club, and we're going to have a 12 o'clock start time from here with OC6 and OC1s. Mostly race people, we talked about that. I mean, I suppose if for those that know rec paddlers that might be up for it, maybe I'll leave that up to that discretion. It's about 16 miles. We do have some chase boats. And we've invited K-Kai. They're going to start at the same time. It's the same distance.
Cool.
Nice.
And so we'll all meet there and we'll have an OSC K-Kai pig party.
Called a luau. Yeah.
A luau pig party.
Bill actually had the
Mr. Holly. Pig party.
Well, it's not, that's the thing. I asked Bill if he wanted to call a luau. He said no. So.
It's a pig party.
Pig
and wine is poor.
I like pig run.
It's either a pig run or a moss run or I don't know. So it's around April 21, put on a counter. It's not a race. It's not an organized event. We're just going to go there. We'll bring the trailer down, of course. We need about 60 people to make it work. And
so
it's
that's six canoes, right?
We need all our canoes.
Well, from two clubs and the one-mans.
Okay.
You know, we probably have 10 one-mans. You know, four canoes.
But we can
club
fit six
canoes
on
that.
Yeah, we
can.
So this is,
listen,
that
mission
was
to
sign on.
Well, this just kind of has been coming off the conversation with coaches and Phil for a while, and Phil just kind of put this together with, like, you know, he's got the whole pig and garlic bread and stuff. And so now that I have it, I gave it to Jim and to make sure that he's got enough interest with his club. Because if we have 15, 20 people signed up, we're not doing it. So we'll have a deadline, and it will be published tomorrow.
Okay.
Team Snap. Team Snap and well, I guess that's right. Email is club wide. I don't mean to not invite Rutgers, but I mean they have to be the right person.
Sure.
Yeah, because if you have someone
who's
taking
consideration,
who only goes 2 miles and then they want to rest, is not gonna make
Sixteen is, you know, I mean if it was eight, that would be a different story.
Get it.
16.
Yeah.
I mean it'd be great if, you know, if you knew enough people that, you know, one or two wrecked boats were sturdy enough to go, then great. But you're right, it wouldn't be a club email, it'd be a Team Snap announcement. And it's $40 a person.
Okay.
That is what it is. And if we get more than 60 people, we'll have a little bit of profit, but it's not really a fundraiser. It's about a $2,000 event, so. It's just a party, it's a big run. Laura Johnston has volunteered to do a beach cleanup. It was going to be on Earth Day, which was
April 22nd,
then she can't be there. So she said April 29th. I said, that's fine, but we got Jacob's Heart on the 29th and day one of juniors.
And the big
but we keep kicking it down the road and no one does beach cleanup. I don't know. I just might let her do it.
I thought Ruthie was in charge.
I've asked her several times.
So Ruthie and
I've got nothing.
The lady talked this morning and they got together, so whatever.
So you see, that's why things should come through a central source.
Yes.
And Laura's all excited about doing this because I've asked Ruthie several times. She's
kind
of come to the board meeting, talk about it, and nothing.
Yeah.
So how long can we ask about picking cigarette butts up off the beach?
So when is it?
It's not. I mean, it was going to be the 29th at 8 to 9 or 11 to 1.
Nobody will be here.
No one's going to be here. And, you know, how many organizers do we need? Update on the events committee. Is there anything you want to do? Anything there?
I got nothing.
Okay. So let's go to Leslie. Safety committee recommendations.
So either there's some handouts back there, the same thing that I attached to the email. I don't know. Do I read this to people? Or you read it and we go through each item and.
We have 15 minutes.
So I'll read quick and you say yes. I don't know. How's this work?
I read it.
Well, so basically, I think what we talked about last time was making some bullet points that we could say, either you've all read this, I know because I sent it to you, and you all know this inside and out. You can either say, yeah, let's just adopt it, or we can go through each line and discuss it. What would you like to do?
I'd like to discuss one of the things that we didn't talk about at the meeting that I was at, and that is it's under who we practice and recommendations. And it says on track within club that each paddler has experienced a HUI recovery one time a year before being able to renew membership.
We had talked about that just at the first meeting that you were at.
That wasn't there.
And it was just don't know how. It was something we thought we should consider.
Because there's people.
Okay, well, I'm bringing that up. I don't agree with that. And it's, you know, if we're going to adopt something, we just need some.
Well, would you agree with it as a recommendation, as like a safe practice to recommend that people do, or to not even have a line item that shows that?
No. Well, but it says renew membership.
Yeah,
that's,
I think that's the part
that
I would object to.
That's what I'm having a problem with.
I think it's a good recommendation
to do
as long as we don't do it in February like we did last year. The vote I was in.
Wow.
You weren't steering.
I know, but I wasn't steering.
But to say, oh, we're not going to let you, what if somebody's, you know, they're off for 3 months and they're traveling and they come back and go, hey, I can't renew my membership, and I'm darn not going to do one in February. So I think we strike that in its recommendation. I think it would be good.
I think that's a good point.
I mean, our concern, I think, was, you know, we've had members that have been in the club how many years and have never done a holy. So that was a concern that these people are going out and they...
Yeah. Well, we know it's a concern, but how do you handle it?
And that's what we're trying. That's what we're trying to figure out, because
bully race.
I don't think you can. I think that's a tall order.
Yeah, there it is.
Bully race. You do it as part of a practice or a
I think
what we're saying here is it's a recommendation. It's not a requirement.
Yeah.
The difference
that's what this word says.
It says recommendation, which is I think. We recommend.
I'm gonna teach them how to get.
We recommend you do this. It's good training.
Yeah.
You steer, don't you?
Pardon?
You steer.
I can absolutely lean right.
Mm-hmm. Get them in the water.
We're not leaning right.
Well, I mean, no, there's a lot of rec paddlers that when I first started and then did my certification, one of the people that did hers with another boat, she had been paddling I don't know how many years and said, oh, this is my first hooli. And she'd paddled probably at least 6-7 years. So it's just...
Years ago, correct me, and Dave might help, but like when I first started paddling at the club, kind of more between rec and race, I remember there was a time where where it was the day we were going to go hooli all the boats. I mean, it was like a planned thing.
We've done
that.
People
don't show up because we're going to hooli it? Or,
some people don't show up.
Well, I mean, so maybe we don't tell them because you should be ready for a hooli and time your ass is in that boat. But
and then you do
just,
it.
I mean,
then
we can all, I mean, so that's just a suggestion that we should.
I just think people
should not be forced to hooli. If they want to hooli, they can hooli. And if they don't want to hooli, they don't have to hooli. We need to go over the procedure with them. And that's, you know, they need to be able to tread water. I don't want to make anybody hooli.
I don't think we need to require it, but I don't mind making it a recommendation.
Yeah. No, a recommendation is fine, but that's it.
That kind of shows that as a club, we're kind of doing our due diligence by saying this.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, can we jump in a little bit?
Yeah.
Since we're not on the board, I'm all for recommendations. When we go for black and white on stuff, especially I'm Doug and I are kind of here representing rec paddlers because we're mostly paddling with them right now. So I just want to say that anything that's sort of a black and white that is directly going to change things for rec paddle, I want to be involved in. So right now I'm just hearing recommendations, which is great. We can give recommendations right and left as long as it allows for the good judgment of a certified steers person in the different situations. So that's my two cents worth, unless we're talking black and white, this is what you have to do now in rec paddle. Okay?
I think the way I've read this whole proposal that it is, they're all recommendations.
It says recommendations.
So I hear you.
Cool.
I think that's the way it's being presented.
Cool.
That's what we talked about the last meeting. Yeah. That's what we needed to differentiate.
Okay, thank you.
And there may be some things later that we say we need to do something like one of the things we talked about previously was if there's an incident.
Sure.
The incident report, that's something I think at least a lot of people, mandatory, and some of these are not coming just from us, but from NCOCA.
Sure.
They're saying you really should do this.
Sure.
This is a recommendation, and so yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, it's great that you guys are coming and providing input for the people you're out with. I mean, that we need that, right?
So how to proceed with something like this? Maybe it's not necessary to actually endorse or what do you call it? You know, approve this, but just to use it and like spiral notebook for people that want to put it in the shed.
Absolutely.
And you know, hopefully we'll have people's time.
Yeah.
We probably, I don't know about adding a clause to the waiver. I know, Gail, you have thoughts about that.
We can add an addendum, but we cannot change the NCOC waiver at all. We have to keep it the same. So under the PFD recommendations, a clause waiver, I thought I had changed it to make it clear, but there was like an add a clause waiver. I am responsible for ensuring that I can tread water from 50 to 55 degree ocean for 30 minutes, and I just put for 30 minutes. If not, you must wear a PFD.
Is that on the waiver right now?
On our addendum, and then I added, and then of course, they're to abide by the our code of conduct, and then also I added like any medical information that people wanted to share. So I thought that was clear.
Great, perfect.
Is that clear enough?
I know one of the things we talked about also was, so I think the waiver's fine. OSC paddlers, I think, OC1 paddlers, I think a recommendation to wear a PFD is fine. The guys at NCOCA, it's not an NCOCA policy, but they suggested requiring PFDs on our rental equipment, which I don't know if we need to do that, but I don't know if it's a bad practice either. I mean, everyone's buying PFDs today up at the lane, and it is best practice by all means.
PFDs save lives, and that's all we're trying to recommend.
When someone rents our equipment. But anyway, I'm okay. I know there's some objection to that, and I wouldn't mind requiring it, but I'm okay recommending it. So, whatever. I would assume everybody would rather recommend than require that line item.
I have them right now because this hasn't gone through. They have a couple of people have already filled them out. We're trying to backtrack to 2017 to cover ourselves.
Okay.
It's basically it's an insurance claim form for a liability, personal liability. So it asks for your insurance information. It doesn't seem applicable necessarily. It's like an accident report form.
Okay.
But this is what the NCO insurance company provided to us.
The incident report?
Yes. It's an insurance claim form is what it is.
So
it goes nowhere other than here.
Unless
but it gathers the information if somebody requires it 5 years down the line. That's names, their insurance company, what happened.
Big events.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily a hoolie, but like Lynn's hoolie was kind of a bigger hoolie. And like my hoolie, in fact, I should try to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
That was a big
It's very
rescue.
Easy.
Forest
Hill and Rescue. Lynn
has
one.
Well, no, I mean, just figure out how to remember
it. But one thing
I can help too. I was right there.
Well, the worst
wasn't in the water.
Okay.
Yet.
So, I'll do that.
One thing that was specifically used as an example, and not to minimize it, but especially with Kiki and Juniors, if a child is in Kiki, is walking across your parking lot and they get cut, they're barefoot or whatever, you gotta write it down, you gotta document it. So even though it seems minor, you still would fill out an incident report. So
you're gonna have a safety binder,
yes.
Is what your thought is, and it's gonna have those reports in it.
I will keep the reports separate.
Well, the blanks.
The blanks,
yes.
Yeah.
The
blanks
will be in there.
Yeah. So maybe the fourth drawer in the file cabinet, because my waiver stuff's in the third, and the fourth drawer is a bigger drawer. Just clean all that stuff out,
mm-hmm.
And put all your stuff in there.
Okay.
And maybe put
yeah.
a nice big label
yeah.
on it.
Yeah, on the front.
Safety.
Or something.
Yeah,
just
on
safety.
The front of the...
We'll have a safety binder. I'll have a folder that says blank incident reports,
yeah.
And then I'll have the available, the filled out incident reports. So just it's a way of documentation, and it's seems like overkill for minor events, but
doesn't hurt.
Easy
to do.
So I wanted Teresa. I don't know if you guys have the form that Teresa made for signing in. It's a sign-in form. You don't have a link, do you? It just has space. It's numbered, and it has you write your name, and it has a little checkbox if you're a member. A new paddler, a steerer's person, or
yes,
I guess.
So that's
yeah.
What
so
I was
so
for. Yeah, so
I didn't know where to put it, so it's in your waiver.
No,
that's
not
right.
That's
yeah,
I created
a
sign-in sheet.
Just,
so
yeah.
Rec, so it'll keep track of members.
Just have a binder.
So, but see, we need to
also
address the moms and the pirates.
Okay.
You know,
well,
so,
covered
so that's how I got this.
Would
that work for the moms and the pirates?
Oh, yeah.
Just,
it
just needs to be easy, accessible.
So that could be our logbook, our spiral book, instead of a spiral thing.
It was on clipboard.
I saw.
It was. I got a clipboard. I printed
out
it has six communities worth of names on it,
NCLC,
and people are constructing for members. So I figured
so we
can also
put it
in anyway.
So
it
won't have
it's a double system.
So we just got to remember to bring it out. That's probably not racers, right?
No, it's for rec paddle only. So last week and this week, I was there walking around saying sign in, who signed it, and then we did the count out. Like last week, we were one number off, and I'm like, somebody didn't sign in. I'm just checking my clipboard at them.
So probably along that line, what for consistency is have an email go out to leaders of each group to explain what is now present in the shed for them to use.
Okay. Well, I think club-wide, because if people are reserving a canoe, like myself, if I reserve a sixth person, we should sign that out.
I would inform you as the scheduler of canoes.
Do you want a note on our new bulletin board?
Whatever you guys do.
So with regards to this, are we going to take, there's been some input of things that, like the waiver and the whole thing about requiring a Hooli as new membership that we want, I think we should strike, just update it one more time, and then we stick it in the book.
Well, again, they're all recommendations.
I know, but the whole one, be able to renew a new membership, I take that out even as a recommendation. That just,
That's a non-starter.
Yeah,
that's a
non-starter.
Where is
the,
I went
to
look and I couldn't find it.
Where is
the AED?
I don't know.
It's in the Harbor Off. Oh, we have one?
No.
No, we don't.
No,
there's one in the Harbor
Off. And so what
happens when they're closed? I heard a rumor that there's one over by El Telmo.
No,
we left.
I started that rumor.
Yeah.
I didn't find it.
We looked.
Can you ask the Harbor?
Yes.
Figure that out.
So my question is, how do we inform the club as a whole of this information?
1 minute.
Put it in the binder.
No, but I mean, do we say there's a new, how do we say
safety
that stuff has been in the...
We've updated the safety
recommendations.
A lot of this is already on the website.
Yeah. But the website, people don't read the website.
I know.
So how
we send
do we
say this, you send this as an email on the town.
For
well, we're going to have it at the website.
I would send
it.
Get an email to Scott and say, for your information, there's a safety binder now located.
We'll have this on the website as well.
Right.
It needs to be sent.
You could send this attachment to everyone.
Yes. And then you've done.
But we're saying that we're going to do revisions to this before that.
Revisions. You mentioned the waiver has to be that.
The waiver
that has to be taken.
So just take the whole waiver sentence off of there. And then the only other thing I heard an issue with was
before being able to renew membership.
Yeah, take that out.
That's it. Then I think you should just push it out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my.
Okay.
I don't think this has to be because the recommendations. I don't think it has to be approved. It was just an update of.
Wait,
kind
of
hold on.
Informative.
Oh, wait, hold on. We
all right, wait,
we have a question.
I had a question about the under the documentation recommendations here. The single OC6. If you're leaving in a single OC6, let somebody else on land know your plans in regard to estimated time of return to destination. This text. To a certain phone number. What is the phone number? I mean,
so it's me as the safety officer for the club. If you don't have somebody else on that you want to.
Just so
okay.
someone
let's
has
say in the
plan.
Case of the pirates or something that we're out and Leona's with me on a given week and the guy knows that she's gone and he knows when she returns. Does that require me to send a text?
No.
Or only in.
Only if you guys
didn't
have somebody else.
So that's a scheduled float,
right?
Right.
If you check the canoe out for Friday afternoon, that's not scheduled.
That's kind of
different.
No.
But
what
it says here, if any single canoe goes out,
there's one.
Yeah, when it's
two,
just one
it's
canoe
advised,
out.
It's recommended that you let somebody know that you're going.
And there's probably somebody on the water.
Right.
On this form,
you
always
don't come back.
So again, it's a recommendation.
Like,
when I take it over,
right. So I'm here. It says,
or I go and paddle. She knows I'm out, and I text her. That's all we're saying.
It's
like that's all it is.
So
And if it's two of you going out, then
I don't see on
here,
but I know it's on our website, is the lights. Am I missing that?
There's a lot that's not on here that's already, because
okay.
I thought we
so
were
just
trying to,
changes.
You know, I mean, there's a lot more on our safety.
Yeah,
yeah, we should probably combine them or something.
We will, for
yeah.
the actual manuals. So
yeah.
That's why sending this out, I wasn't quite sure.
No, we don't necessarily need to send this out, but it can be combined with what's on the website, put into the manual.
Why don't we do this?
I wanted to say that there's a there's, please,
no.
Please inform yourself by reading our safety manual that is now located in the shed.
And online.
Yeah, so why don't I do this? Why don't I take this with the revisions that were just said, put it up on the website page, nobody knows where it is yet, send that link out to the board so you can review it when everybody's happy with it, then it's like, okay, you can print that out, that goes in the shed,
and,
you can send out your email.
Let the club know.
Uh-huh. And I'll combine the page that's there now with
okay.
this and blah, 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 blah.
And you're not going to send it out for board approval, you're just going to send it out for an FYI.
Exactly. Yeah, in case there's provisions still
needed. Objection coming up. Yep.
Unless that word.
Perfect.
Oh, well.
That sounds great.
That would never happen.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie, for your efforts in that. I now wear a whistle when I paddle.
Right on.
Good.
And I'm going to wear a life vest that I just got today
That's
when
good.
I paddle.
That's great.
Did you get
with a whistle.
With a whistle. And my hat.
So is that anything else?
No.
Okay, thank you for that.
Go
to the corner. Dave.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, someone is more worried that, you know, yeah, sorry, I'm all on a different subject here.
Are you not present?
A lot going on. So yeah, I mean, as far as I haven't been really involved so much with the women, just because of all the events that we've got going on. So I apologize, you guys. I'd really like to infuse, and our plan is to do that. We just got some major major things coming up that we want to accomplish, and it's taking a lot of our time. But right now, the guys, we literally have 22 open guys. Around 12 master guys and almost 24 senior master guys. We've been putting an average of 4 canoes on the water in the mornings, been ranging between 2, sometimes 3 canoes at 5:30 a.m. So, and we're geared up, everybody has a race schedule. And yeah, the rest of the subjects, we've got crew, 12 paddlers headed to Hawaii for this coming weekend, be doing the channel crossing from Oahu to Kauai. And then after that, still get the race schedule. You guys can see everything that we got planned. But yeah, so we do definitely plan. Matt and I want to start working with the women when we get over this Kauai and other super press.
Are you going?
Yeah.
Is it the Paul for Kindle?
What's that?
Is it the Kindle?
You know what? It's kind of shifted away. Not so much the focus, but there's still the memorial part of that. Mm-hmm. But it's also bringing in other powers from other organization clubs and stuff like that, and Maui and stuff to participate. But yeah, it still has that resonance.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, big battle. It's awesome. Okay. Carry on.
The agenda is new canoe purchase 20 minutes.
So if you guys could do me a favor, unfortunately it didn't work out for me to get this printed. Slam that down. So if you guys, I think you have a phone. I just emailed you. If you don't have a phone, maybe you can put up next to somebody. But it should be all on your board. Is there a group that doesn't have a phone?
Is it this?
No. No.
Not what you sent out.
Why does it look like that?
There's two different things that you sent.
Well, your email, your original email.
That is it.
Okay.
Well, is it the email?
That is it right there.
Was the newest one?
The newest one. So, I have it up on my computer. Does anybody need?
I never got anything at 2. I didn't get
it.
It just sent it in.
You were the only one who got it.
No,
I got it at 2.
No, I didn't get that. Because I asked him about that, and he said, no, that's not it. Anyway, this is the new one. At 6.
No.
Yes, that's
just
it.
Now.
This was not sent just now, because I don't have a printer here.
Mine was just sent
to, like, 10, 15 minutes.
I got it.
This is a
what's
yeah.
funny is...
Well, if it's a sent, because
oh.
you sent it out earlier, because I printed this at home.
It did go...
Oh, no, no, no. I sent that out, but unfortunately, I realized I sent it out to the old board email.
Yeah,
so that's why
it's
on the
board.
I just realized
But it's
that's
the same?
It's the same. He forwarded the original. He forwarded that email.
Yeah,
I got it.
I'll share with Chris.
Do you have it?
I'll share with
you. But you guys can scroll down
to 27.9.
At the very bottom.
The only thing that matters.
No, it's the last page. So it kind of gives a overview of our equipment. So as you, so as you guys can see, it lists our current Albert Canoe inventory. I have a big problem. Makanui is still unrigged. Its purpose and reason why we kept the canoe is still not being used, so that's why I still have an issue with that. Other than that, the current racing canoes are all listed, but you'll see that I also have a section that actually has it as competitive racing canoes, and that's why you only see five, because the other canoes are not considered competitive. And as from a coach's standpoint, it's obvious people don't want to race those. I wouldn't want to put a paddler in there, and I hear that constantly. If I put you guys in there, I hear, that's nothing. So it's, that's the reason why we have it. Plus, the other ones don't have spray skirts.
So Makani isn't considered
racing? Considered old. It's considered, it doesn't have a current spray skirt. That skirt does not currently work. And that canoe is outdated by Jackie.
I'd rather take that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
we'll
look. But can we just talk about Makani equipment? But there's a Bradley division for...
Yeah, there's Bradley Division for Bradley Division. Ask yourself how many times you race that. All the guys that want to race, and I haven't checked with the women, but most of the guys, they don't want to race that spec boat. Whether or not it's Bradley or not, most of the guys want to race unlimited, and they also want to race competitive boats. That's not competitive, even though it's Bradley. So that is why we look at it as not part of the true racing, because you're looking at one race that canoe is being utilized for. So we don't look at our season on our equipment for one race canoe. We look at it as its versatility over a wider range of races. So you can look down at the men's racing program. I use this because we actually have more men than we do have women. It's not to say that anything about the women, anything, it's just an easier way for me to put the projections out there. But with the open men, again, and the master men and the senior master men, we're looking at Total 55, I did a huge push to try and get everyone to pay their dues and sign their waivers. I still have some stragglers, we're still working on that. So based on that, who wants, and then these are competitive paddlers. The Open Division this year has some of the top paddlers, and we've actually pulled paddlers from other clubs. So with that, we are looking at the need for three unlimited canoes. The Masters crew wants to race unlimited canoe. And then there's a senior master, top men senior master team that wants to race unlimited as well. So we're looking at five unlimiteds. We don't have it. We only have two. Okay. And then so what I also put on there is let's who's been consistently coming out to practice. We're still early in the season, and that due to weather, we haven't had all the crews out there, but consistently, even in bad weather, even in stormy conditions, we've been putting out two crews. We're open. And when we get on the afternoons, we've been putting up to four or five crews. So right now we have consistently two open men's crews, consistent one master's crew, and two senior master crews. So technically down in the division, that requires us to have four unlimited canoes. Again, we only have two. Okay. So that's why I made a push to get the Tahitian, because the Pu'akea, as you guys know, I went down, brought the canoe up. We had it for an unheard of amount of time. You can't even demo that. You'd have to drive down to a club, go take it out, go try it out, and that would be your option for actually testing the canoe. We had it for over 21 days. So we got to try out the canoe, we tried it out in every condition. The women tried it out, the men tried it out. We did a survey with the men. We got feedback from the women, okay? We did side-by-side tests, we did GPS tests, we did everything. okay? Universally, they want, everybody wants the Tahitian canoe. I mean, there are guys that like, if they had a choice, go with the Pu'akea versus the Tahitian. There's some that still want to, oh, I'd still race the Pu'akea. But the thing is that they wouldn't race the Pu'akea because we don't have a limited canoe. So with an additional limited canoe, they'll get to race in limited division. So if you guys look at the total cost, so I got an update, found out the spray skirts cost more. So the total cost of the canoe is $27,500. So you can see that includes two sets of yakus, one wooden, and then one all carbon fiber. And then the...
Not including tax.
This is everything. This is total. It's different from coming from Tahiti, so it's going through Alex. So it's coming through a different setup. So this is a total, $27,500.
We had to pay tax on the other one, right?
No,
that's
because we bought it before the year ended.
Well, it's a special incentive to pay the money right
up
front.
Yeah, they said it. Well, okay, I thought they had to start charging it
the
next year. Whatever.
This is what I'm told.
Okay, so I just want to make sure. Okay, this is not another liability that we're...
Correct.
We're not baking into the...
Well, we're the buyer, we're not the seller. It's the seller's... I mean, the seller's going to have to determine that. I mean,
it's not a liability for us, but... If there's tax, we would like to know.
It's their responsibility to collect the tax and pay it to the state of California.
Right. That's his responsibility.
If they don't collect it from us, then it's on him.
But it's not in here, it doesn't matter.
But the bottom line is that you guys are looking at, I would not go and go, oh, by the way, we have to pay something more. It basically, this is what I'm looking for approval for. This is the total dollar amount. Nothing more, nothing less.
Okay.
If they come back and say this, go, I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with it on your end. If they say, sorry, you can't, I have to go back, then I go back to the board again. But right now, I'm moving forward with that. This is the actual dollar amount. Now, this went into a mad dash to actually get this paid for. Because again, my whole thing is keeping the solvency of the club up as well. So I put it out there and started working on this and worked hard. And I really appreciate everybody. Now, I've kept everybody anonymous. I have not stated anybody's name because some people said they don't want to be named. Some people said it's fine, but I don't have that. I don't want to sit there and have to put each one, so that's why you're going to see the X's. So I have a $3,000 check, and that actual check for that sponsorship is going to have the actual, would have their name on the canoe. The other three are actually just, here's money. So, is that the one that...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's $4,750 in that. We have two fundraising events. One of them is $1,600. That's the team building for the volleyball. Teresa's already collected $750. We still have $850 to collect from that. We also did an auction. And just so you know, this is going to be staffed by the men's program. That's why there wasn't a committee set up. That wasn't why I went through all these things, because we're going to take care of it. And so there's actual auction that took place last night. The owners of the Giants, they bid $5,000 for it. Out of that $5,000, because it's in conjunction with St. Francis High School, but it's a paddle day, up to 16 paddlers. We basically take them out. I'm not going to go over each one, but anyways, that yielded us $1,600. That's already done. That money's already just needs to get transferred to me. Well, actually, to the club, sorry. I also put out there looking at establishing a 5-year racing membership that got people would be willing to, and I put that as a limit of 4 paddlers. So that's $4,000. I have those checks right now. I have a $1,000 loan for 14 months, and basically, that's just a straight out loan. The 3 $5,000 loans for 14 months, that's $5,000. I have those checks right now. And basically, those members would get, that would be 2.6 power members. Basically putting it as they would, I'll go into each one of those in a second. So the total comes out to $27,950. So if I break this down right now, I have, in my case, $22,750 in checks made out to OSC right now. $750 was turned in to Teresa, and now actually another $1,000 was turned in. So now $750. So that $1,000 sponsorship was turned in as well. There's $1,000 upon board approval. As soon as it's approved, the PayPal, that will be deposited into OSC PayPal as soon as this is approved. And then the $2,450 comes from the $850 that's still due from the St. Francis High School, and the $1,600 for the towel gate, which has already been auctioned, it's already been paid, the check's already there and available. So the total comes out to $27,950. So if we break down the actual individual events and how I kind of put it out there, the sponsorship, all sponsors have made checks out to OSC. Only one sponsor, the $3,000 sponsorship, will have the name on the canoe. Receive a sponsorship donation to be provided upon receipt of a check to the treasurer. Sponsorship good for 1 year with the option for all that means is that that individual that paid the $3,000 wants to continue to have their name on the canoe, then they have the option to pay the sponsorship again the following year. The fundraising event, the St. Francis High School Women's Volleyball Team event, you guys can read that. I really want to say thanks to Mike Ribbon. He was really an advocate to make this happen. But again, that's going to be staffed by the OSC men. The Paddling Adventure auction already took place. It already yielded us $1,600 for that. So that again, that will be taken care of by the men. The prepaid five-year racing membership, we're basically saying for those racers, the men's program have come forward with that. There would be giving them, if approved, from April 1st, 2018 to April 1st, 2022 membership. If they decide to leave the membership or if they leave the club, those dues would not be reimbursed. It's just lost to them. They just give that back. That just stays with the club. So if I'm in year two and I decide to leave the club and I paid the $1,000 advance, I don't get any reimbursement for that. The $1,000 loan is straightforward. It's just $1,000 for 14 months. The $5,000 loan for 14 months, those are by three men paddlers that have come forward. And those are basically have a two-month free membership. The club would be responsible for paying back in 14 months. These are all interest-free loans to the club. Looking at the yearly expenses for the actual canoe, just like every other canoe, it has an expense. So insurance is $630, as verified by Dave Lasselot. The harbor storage, I'm going based on what is now. I know that's going up, but for right now, based on today's rate, that's $58 a month from what I was told. So the total per year is $1,326. Okay, so how do we pay this back? So again, I'm all about solvency in the club. So I know that I was informed that the new equipment purchase, I'm just putting this down as a line item. But the other thing, the reason why I wanted to do the loans is because, I also recognize the fact that we have an ongoing tax audit, so I'm not sure how that's going to, so it gives us a little buffer in time to clear that through. That clears through, and we still have that $5,000 that's available for new equipment, and we can apply that or apply a percentage, however we want to actually pursue that. So we're also looking at doing a team building event for St. Francis High School football team. That'll bring in $3,000. We're working on, in fact, after this, I got to race over to Kalai Miles' house, go babysit his kids. So that's part of the process of me getting it, so that way I get him to come out to Pono and do the fundraiser that we're going to want to set up. And so I'll be actually asking UK as well, hopefully get you guys on board to do taiko drumming to do raffle.
We can't. We already have a performance that day.
There's no set day.
Well, the one that you had earlier. So anyway, but
yeah, there's no set day on here. Okay. You haven't set a time, but I'll just take that as a note. Okay. So next one is auction for nonprofit. So basically, over three quarters of these, I've gotten to where we can get those. Basically, it's a voucher. So for example, acupuncture for treatments. Chiropractic, it's for treatments, yoga, and so forth, all the way down, CrossFit, to climbing gym, and so forth. So there's someone here that I'm going to need help to get, but it's very doable. And so basically, we auction those off. they'll be listed on a website, and we'll put it out there on the media, and basically get it as an auction for those. And then so that could actually be another fundraiser. So I'm looking at about $3,000 minimum. Just the acupuncture itself, it's $150 treatment, then times that by four. The chiropractic is $120 treatment. So these all add up. We're looking at, once we're doing four treatments, because it's more enticing for somebody to want to actually pay for that in an auction. There's a 50-50 raffle. I checked on this extensively. California does allow a 50-50 raffle. What that means is, some of you guys that have been to the Sharks game, they do a 50-50 raffle. You buy raffle tickets, 50% of the funds goes towards that organization, and then whoever wins that raffle gets that actual money, half of that money. So we can do that as well. I even put it on the forms that we need to submit that. So projecting for fundraising possibilities between, you know, anywhere 18,000 plus. But yeah, that's where it's at. So right now, I have $22,750 in checks. I've done everything I possibly can. We need the canoe. We need the unlimited. We need to upgrade our equipment. Okay, I'm exhausted on this. I worked till, I can't even tell you how late last night to make this happen. Do you guys have any questions or anything regarding this?
So
you got 20 seconds.
Great
job. Okay. You did good on your time.
Before we talk about this, can you also address the sale of corporate assets, what you were talking about for that?
That's a separate line item.
Yeah, it is a separate line item. But can you talk about that?
Do you want to add it into that, Kyle?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so there's not much opportunity to sell a rhino canoe. Nobody wants it. But I do have somebody that wants to buy it. And it is Kimo Keo from Maui, and he's started an actual Hawaiian voyaging canoe club in San Diego. So he's willing to buy that canoe. He's also willing to buy a Striker. So we're looking at what is our oldest and most unused equipment that we have. And that is definitely a rhino. For example, if you guys want to walk over there right now, guarantee you're going to find that canoe unrigged and been unrigged for a long time. As well as Makani Akua. That canoe has been in our fleet for a long time, and they're looking for a Bradley's, and they're willing to buy it. They're willing to pay up to $5,500 for the Striker. For the Bradley, and maybe around $3,000 for the rhino. So I have to send pictures of it to him, but he wants to buy it, and he's the only one that would buy the rhino. And we know that. You guys need information as far as wanting to put it out there, go for it. We've talked to other clubs and that. No one wants a rhino. It was great in California decades ago. So the reason being, we also looked at usage for the canoes and that. We also wanted to start to look at helping out the rec program and help facilitate progression in that group, because a lot of the paddlers do come from the rec. So why not better to get them exposed more to unlimited? And Dave Dyke was fundamental to working with new paddlers on Sundays and that, so we figured that would be the most ideal canoe to give full access to the rec program to utilize.
I have a comment or thought on that. So the rec, I know racers come from rec. The rec needs canoes due to numbers that turn out. The racers need racing canoes. Is there ever a thought that racing equipment and other equipments stay separated?
If we had a bigger fleet, yes. Not with the fleet we have now.
Yeah.
Just because
we use them for two different purposes, and that make maintenance of unlimiteds, and have recreational paddlers using unlimiteds, but we want to use them for racing.
It's also, we have to look at as,
could
you know,
we just do it as racers fundraising, like you're already doing for unlimiteds, but.
Well, see, I originally put it out there as that proposal, and I have to kind of stick by my word because I really didn't know what kind of feedback I was going to get. And so I actually had one rep paddler that was willing to do a $5,000 loan, It was on the basis that, okay, hey, now we got more access to the one of the unlimiteds. Now, it wouldn't be something where it's just a free-for-all access to the unlimited. It'd have to be a set crew. It'd have to be somebody that is certified to steer. And it'd have to be a crew that you know is fundamentally sound and there's power. So that way they're not damaging the size of the gun all that. But, I mean, basically, if you look at historically, the rec program hasn't damaged canoes. It's been the racers. So really, technically, we're pretty safe to say, having that set up in the situation, we're going to be guaranteed that the canoe is going to come back fairly well and in pretty good condition. Because they're not going up against canoes in turns and stuff. It's a great idea if we had a bigger, bigger fleet. Sure, but
we have two different purposes.
I just couldn't. I can't go back on my word saying putting it out there is, hey, you know, we want to do this. We want to have it so that way the rec program has more access to it. We want to get the new TVs, and we go, okay, now I've got these funds coming in. It's all pretty much coming in by the guys. All right, no, the access to the wider limits. No, no, I can't do that. So I got to stick to my original.
So I'd like to chime in on this. I like what you're proposing, Dave, but I'm not sure why you're trying to separate. I hear you're saying two different purposes.
I was just saying, not because of any, just because, okay, where was I? We just have different purposes when we enter the canoe, whether it's recreational and different skill levels. And the racers have more of an opportunity to learn how to paddle in an unlimited. It's different. And practice safety skills and other stuff like that. Rec paddlers, I know, like you said, if there's a set.
So, but what's your point? I'm hearing that you're trying to separate. He's
oh,
trying
I was just
include.
A thought. Right, no, I'm not against inclusion. It was just.
I think I can answer if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
If we had the equipment and the levels, then yes, the racing canoes would be just for that racing. We would literally have canoes that would only be used for racing, and we'd have pulquets that are just for racing. Then we'd have practice pulquets, and then we'd have our just regular spec boats that we race, and then we'd have our practice spec boats. But since we don't have that kind of fleet, we try and do the best we can. So it's maybe she's trying to refer to is that, yeah, we want to have those high-end priced canoes reserved for what they're actually used for the majority of the time. But since that's not the case, we don't have the actual, you know, inventory, then yeah, we have to kind of just build blend. So the rec program going to get into race canoes, and so forth, but we will always try and keep our top canoes. Now, the Tahitian canoe will be in such a place where, no, it's not going to be accessible to, say, the rec program, but it's not going to be accessible to, say, Knox for the men. It's going to be accessible for those racers that are actually going to be using that gear. So
be
a second unlimited. So it's kind of like this is a way to give these guys something that can actually help bring in and actually keep them motivated, because I can imagine just being in the same boats all the time can get pretty bored. Same time, give us some high end.
Mm-hmm.
This Tahitian canoe is state of the art. It's 2018.
So you'll be determining who can use which canoes.
Yeah, we'll set out this, but it won't be something like JH. JH is completely separate. We're on the liaison. I'm fully responsible for that canoe until that actually gets, which is going to happen when we do the Half Moon Bay to Santa Cruz battle. That's going to be transferred once when that actual dollar amount's raised. Then I send the form to Jake Tart. They sign off it. It's now OSC's, and it goes back to, yeah, it's coach's discretion, but it won't be something where it's like, hey, I need to know who's going out and when they're going out with it.
Well,
aside from being that boat that I'm personally responsible for.
Well, what you need is you need, and this is what we did last year when we bought the boat, we needed to buy in from the whole club.
Yeah.
Everybody. Not just racers.
Yeah.
So, what we suggested at that time was for, well, Matt at the time, or whoever you, to take the white boat out, maybe the white and the red boat out on one or two, you know, demo days. And we've already done one of those this year, and I would guess that perhaps you might do a Tahitian demo day, for example. I mean, not let them take it, but go with them and do show the boat. But now we get to actually move farther and say, the white boat can have a little bit more use.
Correct.
All the damage on that boat, those boats are
racers with the spray skirts, Big Ben pushing in the bulkhead, you know, those foot braces coming off. There, I think if you run into something, there's damage, but I think the use is probably
so I was just thinking, and Dave answered it, but, you know, if we had a big, in the future, if we had, is there ever a thought, or do clubs designate just racing canoes and just...
You don't have the space. We don't have. We need 20 canoes.
It wasn't a hierarchy for
meant against anybody.
First, we ran out of space. Now it's take easiest. But when we could pick any canoe, Rick did have a list of this canoe versus.
I know. I remember that. Yeah. So,
but yeah, space limitations.
Bob,
but I think the utilization ought to be high on the canoes, and you should care for them and not damage them. But we shouldn't have a lot of idle canoes that we don't use,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that we have, we should be using them as much as we can, right? And any money that we'd save by highly utilizing them should go into buying new equipment and refurbishing it, especially if that opportunity to sell the older equipment. So that would be my point. It's high utilization is, we're here to paddle, right? So let's use the heck out of them.
For the whole club. I mean, one of the things I insisted on when we did the white canoe is that there was access for everybody.
Yeah.
It's part of our charter, which is we're not, you know, part of the charter of the club is to say, this is for everybody. Everybody pays dues.
Yeah.
I know some people are chipping in more, and yes, it's going to be for racing, but when we talk about equipment, it's going to be for the whole club and the
so
demo
that's
days.
The
and I think that's, you know, yeah, okay. Some people don't like steering those unlimiteds. They're not too easy. That's a whole other issue. But that's, you know.
Yes.
But it's just, it's the club's equipment.
Right. So I'd like to just chime in my 2 cents worth. Dave, I think that's awesome that you wanted to include the rec paddlers because I'm sending racers to you. Got another racer. I sent a racer to you last week, a new racer, and got another guy that's coming to you as of today. Stoked. And seeing these people coming through the paddling class, the beginner paddling class, we get them all fired up. We take the potential people that were like, yeah, we see that you could become a racer. I tell them, talk to Dave Wehner. We'll get you practicing. We'll get you practicing with the racers. So, you know, we have different abilities, steers people, with the rec paddlers. They're all certified steers people. As you said, we're gentle on the canoes. We're not running into each other and stuff, but we're drumming up enthusiasm, and we get these rec paddlers that come in, they get a taste of paddling, and they are stoked, and then we send them off to you, Dave, and there's money, there's older people that have money, and they would love to be part of this Ohana and sponsor in any way that they can, and I think it's really important to include the rec paddlers in this way. So awesome job. I support it 100%. And we are taking care of the equipment. And the rec paddlers are the ones that come on the club work day to wax and wash the canoes. A lot of times we're like, where are the racers? But I get that you guys are doing it on Saturdays now, which is a typical racing training day, which is going to get the racers in. But before, it's like, we're the rec paddlers out there doing it, you know? So that's my 2 cents worth. Good job on including the rec paddlers because there's a huge potential there. And money, and influence, and Ohana, and so on and so forth. Okay, my 2 cents worth.
I have to leave. Sorry.
And I'm riding with her, so I got to go.
Do we still have a quorum present?
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
I
lost
the vote, but I got to go.
I have a question.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Zach.
So, Dave, I have a question. So, Coca-Cola, the guys don't usually, are the guys racing Coca-Cola? I haven't paid attention.
Yeah, it's really difficult because of the actual restriction in the size that you can put the crews. So
it's a restriction for us women, too. So, I don't know how people feel about selling Coca-Cola.
Can we fix it?
We did a modification, Matt, actually expanded by a quarter inch on both sides. And the problem that you're going to find in is that it's going to be tough to sell. The reason being is that they're going to want to try it out. They're going to sit in it. They're going to notice that it's very narrow. And as far as the new lightings that are coming out, most people are going to want to buy a new Lightning versus what we're going to want to give for that Lightning. So competitively, you know, we've been able to work around it as far as being able to put crews in it. I just didn't want to go there because that's just too many factors into focusing on this. I only wanted to touch on the subject of, you know, and I don't necessarily need a vote, but I was just more of a concept of where we can actually get funds to pay down the loan as well, these loans. But definitely the Rhino and getting rid of our least used and least optimal canoes in racing. And that would be the Rhino and
so the Rhino would be used if it was rigged, and it's not rigged because of space limitations. And Lynn has told me that she wished it was rigged. And even today, we were trying to figure out if it could be squeezed in rigged. If not, is it possible to put it on the beach? Because we're not paying for space, we're paying by canoe. So she was asking me today for input, and she would love to use it. And the Rhino is used on shared adventures because it's got the jump seats and... I don't know what we'd use for shared adventures then if we got rid of it.
Oh,
we use every boat during the shared adventures.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Two
strike boats and the Rhino.
Yeah.
So we're looking at one day, one canoe day use. I asked in the last board meeting that that boat get rigged. They said, I was told that, yeah, we'll rig it. It hasn't got rigged. There is a space issue, but yet we stack the unlimited canoes. We made space. You can make space. It's totally doable, so I still don't understand why that's not rigged. Sure, we had some rainy days, but it hasn't been raining a full 30 days. So I'm just not understanding that. So the space, you can make space. We just stack the canoes. We start stacking the unlimiteds to make room for the Tahitian, and we could have stacked the Tahitian as well.
Well, I think
so.
I think the argument is, and I mean, you mentioned, you said it yourself, is that it's use. Use of canoes, and I think Montpelier has good use, but it has the number of days in a calendar year. Even if it were rigged, I mean,
it would be used for a wreck every single day, every single.
You think so?
When I joined, Montpelier was used almost every Sunday when I started as a wreck paddler.
It's not worth much money, and if there was a lot of interest in keeping it, you know, that may be a discussion. I mean, we don't even need that boat to be on the docket. Maybe it's easier to sell.
Here's an idea. How about we have the wreck people raise $3,000 to keep it, because that's all we're going to get for it.
If that.
Ooh.
Oh, we already got an offer.
Lynn does
nothing
donate money
yeah,
every year
good.
Specifically for
right.
Makanui's maintenance and upkeep.
Okay, I'm just saying this. It's,
well,
I agree with the utilization argument. It's a fair argument to say certain canoes are not used that much. If there really is a preference to keep that, if we had to sell one and the other, then sell the other one.
Yeah.
But I personally feel like, okay, rig the thing, let's see how much it gets used in the next few months, and then we can reassess. But I think one of the canoes, you're right, one of the canoes should probably go just based on utilization.
The potential buyer for those two boats, we got a window with that buyer. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's just you've done the work, you've done the footwork, you know. I mean, if we told them you're working with the board and we need to buy a little time, we got some time, that's my first question.
Yeah, it's not going to happen in the next,
I mean,
month, you know, but if another club goes, I've got tons and he buys what he needs, then I wouldn't rush to make it happen. It's more like putting it out there as a potential way to offset the loans and, you know, upgrade our equipment, because that's the biggest thing. You know, if the use of Makanui is as such, I'm still going to be in that argument that it's been that way and that canoe has not been rigged for over 4 or 5 months. And then we haven't had the Tahitian boat for over 4 or 5 months, so the space issue is no longer an argument. So my problem is that it's been still sitting there unrigged, and it hasn't been in the. We've come to this time and time again as a board. I remember way back when I was sitting on the board, let's sell it. No, we want to, because share adventures and that. We use it for wreck. Okay, great. Then it's not used. So the problem I have is that it's not being used for the argument that we're keeping it. if it was being used.
I don't
used,
think anybody told Rick that they were good to go to rig it, because when I asked Lynn about it, she said, I don't know why it was taken apart. I wish it was rigged. I wish somebody could give us the clearance.
Well,
so now approach. That she knows, well, we'll tell her and say, okay, go for
well,
it.
So
we were going to rig it on work day.
But
we were going to rig it on work day.
Well, she was here at the last meeting, so I disagree with
yeah.
that. She was here at the last meeting. We had the same discussion, and it was kind of the same
and
thing.
I actually
where we
don't
said,
recall being told, go ahead and rig it.
I
remember being told, we'll
we're
work
getting,
on
we're
it.
Getting into the weeds here.
Okay.
You know, there is another tool that we can use. You know, we can put a vote out to the membership, too. So and I don't think, I'm guessing we may not be voting on the sale tonight.
No. It's just, a, it's
just to support the
just
loans.
To put it out there.
Yeah. Okay.
And just...
The other topic, and maybe Dwayne, I mean, so we have two canoes that we just spent $2,000 on. So, you know, is there a canoe or two in the fleet that's coming up on a $2,000 bill pretty soon that we maybe should not be investing in a repair?
Great question.
Is there a canoe that jumps out at you, or all of them?
Well,
that went in. That's
one
of the ones.
Okay.
No, I think we're good after these two, you know, unless something happens, of course.
Okay.
Where
so all up to speed.
But where is this? Which is the other boat for 55 potentially 5,500? And where is that boat in maintenance right now? Is that one of the ones?
That one just got completely rebuilt.
Yeah. Was that the one that?
That was the one that hit the jetty.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
yeah.
the one that hit the jetty.
So it's actually in great condition.
Yes.
And we use it in rec. We use that canoe in rec almost every weekend.
I want to say I've been kind of in similar spots where David is. I think Dave's done a great job of trying to figure stuff out. And so the thing that I take away from this is everything you've done to put the pieces together for the Tahitian and looking at how, because that's going to cause a ripple. We all know it causes a ripple when people are prepaying for stuff. So you've also shown, outside of that, you've shown there's some other options. And I think it's up to us. You've done your work. Plus, it's up to us to figure out what we want to do with the fleet. And you know, I haven't been around as long as some other people, but you're right. One boat gets used a couple days. You know, it's here for that one weekend, and it is used at rec some. But for me, who looks at, I like toys, and I like good stuff, I would be looking for where I could buy other boats, you know, the same way where I could put other used, potentially used better boats into our fleet and sell some of our older stuff. I mean, look at the whole, at a movement of more than just the two he's talking about. Because, look, especially after looking at this list that he emailed us about what are competitive and what we have some boats that probably have some value in them over the next 2 years, but they're not competitive boats that we want to race necessarily. They're good for rec. How many spaces are we going to have in the next 5 years that we can stack boats? If we made it easier to move boats when they're stacked, then people might want to, then boats may not stay unrigged as long. I mean, there's a lot of pieces to this. Why is one boat still unrigged? The unlimiteds are stacked. They're easy to stack. You know, so I just think we need to really look at this, and he's on a point about our fleets. Our fleet is, do we want to wreck fleet only? Do we want a race fleet? Do we want a mixture? Right now we have a wreck fleet and a race fleet,
mm-hmm.
and we're a competitive club.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to grow as a club and to be faster, we've always been competitive with what we've had. We've done well with the equipment we've had. We have opportunities to get new equipment, and I think we, you know, there's some things to look at still. So. But thank you for what you've done. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
Dave, I have a question regarding the loans. So what happens if we, for some reason, don't come up with the funds to repay the loans? What happens?
Oh, it's Teresa's fault.
Be creative. You know what?
Maybe
I can
the
sit there.
Have a renewal option.
I can sit there and come up with every scenario, but you know what? I've done everything that I can at this point. I've gone out there, get the funds. No committee had to get formed. Had to figure out how we're going to get this money. How we're going to get. I already got money that's here. I've got checks here. I've got sponsorship. We've got two programs that brought in $3,200. And that's all the men are just going to go and handle those two events. So, I mean, at this point, it's really, I don't know the answer to that, but I hope as a board, they can come out and go, you know what? He's already done all this momentum and done all this legwork. If that comes to be, then maybe we can decide and figure that out at that point. But, I mean, I don't have an answer for you. You know, it's definitely a valid question, but that's when, you know, you can start looking at, okay, well, if it comes to that, and the solvency of the club, then we kind of look at more, do we need to sell it? Do we need to go back to those owners and say, hey, can we have some extra time? We get creative. There's 1,000 different ways to come up with this. Just as there's 1,000 different ways they came up with this money, and I have that money. So at that point, it's just a matter of, you know, doing the work.
I guess one of my concerns is two things, I guess, think about it, is we still owe like $7,500 to Jacob's Heart, and then we would owe $16,000 as well. And then we have people that are prepaying memberships, so that's less money coming in. And I guess in my mind, I need to sit and kind of do numbers because I can't. It's not totally clear for me.
Yeah, and I really would like you guys to, and appreciate that. I really like you guys to start thinking of Jacob's Heart a little bit differently than we owe $7,500. What I'd like you guys to think of is that we've raised $43,000. For that canoe. We've only paid, up to date, $4,000. Every event that I've put on has raised over $8,000. I mean, last year I was given a reprieve due to what was going on with me personally, and I still raised, it was $7,300. Okay? So with that said, when we do the paddle from Half Moon Bay to Santa Cruz, I already have people that had wanted to jump on to, you know, loaning us money, but they said, oh, I told them, I go, no, we've got it covered. Well, how about we actually give some of the money and donate it for the gym? Perfect. When I get that signed up and go, I'm not worried about the $7,500 at all. And the reason why I'm not worried about it is because I'm blowing away that number by $43,000 in 2 years. We have 4 years to raise that. So that's the reason why I don't want people to look at this as $7,500 and bring it into the equation, because really, that boat has been my responsibility. I have fulfilled that responsibility. I'm ahead of schedule on that responsibility. I think my track record sets precedence for that. So I hope that maybe
and
we
I,
can take
and
that
I appreciate
out of
that. I guess for me, I'm just seeing all this money, you know, all this money still out there. And I know David did an awesome job. I mean, it's obvious. I'm just like thinking... I'm thinking multiple things, and I look at this and like breaking it out and going, okay, what does that look like by year? We're collecting money now, then we're not, but you know, hopefully our membership grows.
Our membership
our
has grown.
What's our percentage of membership per year? You know, I'm thinking numbers right now because my brain
well,
goes.
So I looked at the proposal, and what I saw was, okay, there's a certain amount of risk.
Mm-hmm.
There's risk with everything.
Right.
But what he's asking the club to put in is a minimal amount. Everything else is going to be fulfilled by either fundraisers or donations, right?
Yeah.
So you've got money that you've got in hand today. So loans, yeah, I'd say, okay, that's a little risky.
But the loans are against the boat.
Let me finish it. The loans are against the boat.
They should be against the boat.
Well, anyway,
we
haven't gone there.
But they're not.
To fill that in, he's going to go and do some fundraisers.
Well, they are.
And I'd have to say, based on his track record, I don't have any... concerns.
Well, I think to answer the question of where the money comes from,
Bob will pay the 15.
If worse comes to worse, and
the
sells apart, you just sell one of the unlimiteds. I mean, and then you wouldn't have it. I mean, the commitment here is to try to do this, and so I don't think that it's going to fall apart, right? And so, but if you had to liquidate, you could liquidate.
We can always get a real loan too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. The other thing is though.
Well, let me just chime in here a little bit.
This isn't saying the club's free and clear and saying that it doesn't have responsibility to actually work on paying for this canoe, because it is a club canoe. It is for the racing program. So if there's $5,000 that's available for new purchases, for new equipment, then that $5,000 should be slated for that new canoe as a new purchase. The club should work towards getting additional funds for new equipment coming into 2019 as well. So it shouldn't be all on one person or all one group of guys to make all this happen as a club, because it's going to be a club boat. It's going to have Outrigger Sand Cruise on it. So with that, you can also say if there was $5,000 that is slated for new equipment, that just eliminates one loan. The reason why I got the loan is because I'm also understanding of where we are in the taxes. So I didn't want to put a big burden. So right now, OSC doesn't have to put out anything.
But we're responsible.
But we're also responsible for it as well,
that's,
you know, to a point. But I've already have, you know, $4,700 in sponsorship. That's right there. I have the prepaid membership. That's right there. And then I have the loans.
All right. So hold on. I want to jump in here.
Thank you.
So it was a year ago, well, it was last December, we had this exact same conversation for that white book. You know, what's the risk? We're doing the prepaid membership.
Oh,
that
God.
Was the way to raise the money. Now we're not going to have the revenue, so we're seeing kind of some of that pinch now. But the escape valve at that time was like, look, either we wait 2 years to raise the funds for this canoe, and maybe that's the more prudent way to go. Either we wait 2 years to raise the funds for this canoe, and it's hard to raise money for a canoe you don't have. Like, oh, we might buy a canoe in the future, donate $200, right? That was just not going to happen.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So I said, okay, great. We have the canoe here. That white one was here. This is how we're going to raise the money. We're going to have that risk. And if there's a problem, we sell it. Even if we have to take a bath on it, you pay $25,000, you sell it for $18,000 in a fire sale, you still get 90% of your money back if you had to. And that was... That can be, not that anybody wants to do that, but that can happen.
That's,
and if those, whether that
we
loan
find
is attached as a lien against the boat or not, that's the conversation
well,
we can have, but it doesn't matter.
It's
the same dollar amount.
No, it's an asset to the club,
right.
And if the club's responsible,
right.
That's the same.
And I would also say, I do think there's risk. We're taking out $16,000 loan, and we're having $4,000 in prepaid, but I think it's a small risk. Dave has put a lot of work into this, and for one reason might be to thank him for getting us an unlimited canoe for $6,000. I mean, that's one kind of consolation prize. And if one argument, look what happened. We got that red boat cat for 2 years, and we've been just doing these fundraisers for it, and all of a sudden we get this canoe. That allows us to have a second one, and now a third. Our fleet is getting old. Let's expand it and progress with the sport. And this is one way to do it. Really, the only other way to do it is to say, let's save up $27,000 and then buy a canoe. Well, that's not going to happen.
If we save, it's
going to
be more expensive.
It's going to be more expensive. We've attracted some top shelf paddlers as a result of these canoes and Dave's efforts, and this is just going to further us. We're going to look really cool in a Tahitian boat. I think I totally support this. I would get behind the fundraisers. When Dave and I talked about this a few weeks ago, I said, you need to come up with plans on how to repay this loan. He just listed four or five different ways we can do this. On the 29th, arguably, that $7,500 is going to be off the table, however you want to look at it. Now we're moving on to the next fundraisers. I think it's the progression of the club, and I think it's something that we should do.
That's what I said about the risk, right? Yes, there's risk, but the worst case scenario, you have an asset you can sell. And in fact, we have a whole list of assets we could sell. And we've decided so far not to sell any of those. Right? Right? So we've said we've got assets in the club, but nobody wants to sell them. So Dave goes and busts his ass. I'm going to get on my podium here for a minute. I personally feel like, you know, he's excited about it, but he's done a lot of work. And yes, there's risk, but, you know, the alternative is to say, fine, let's sell three other canoes to do this. I mean, nobody wants to sell those canoes. Nobody wants the new canoe. We had fun, you know, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah,
so
I
support it.
I mean, we wouldn't be doing our job if we weren't sitting here asking questions
yeah.
and make sure.
Oh, no, I understand.
All the other clubs are talking about OSC because Dave's paddling at 5:30 in the rain. And now he's got the guys to back it up. Going to add a canoe to that. I mean, it's going to be pretty cool. You guys are going to get the ladies doing the same thing and recruit some hot shots.
So what do you have to do?
So
you have all the money.
More hot shots.
Yeah.
You're asking me?
The only thing that's still... is
Stop.
This right here from Francis. And as soon as you guys have approval, this paddler will deposit $1,000 into OC PayPal.
It needs to be plus the 3%.
So here's something to keep in mind.
They can write a check.
They can write a check.
Yeah,
so we're not letting them use PayPal.
If all that money, here's, you know, to be careful, if all that money goes into the account and our account gets frozen because of the timing.
Well, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble. So it's got to be such that the money just comes in and out of the account. If we decide to do this, it all goes in and it all goes out.
So
it sits there and freezes.
So the way to do that is you have it, you walk in, it gets deposited, you get a counter, you get a cashier's check made at a point, and you just go in, you turn into a cashier's check to who needs to be paid.
Well, we get the cash in the account anyway.
Well, I'm just
so
saying. Well, no, he's talking about physical account.
Well,
you go in there
they,
and you draw a counter, you draw a cashier's check at the same time you're depositing those checks, so you've got those funds.
Just kind of a logistics thing that.
Yeah, you don't want a minute. You don't want to walk out without cash.
But aside from that topic, I don't see a topic with the Reviver issue. Because they do, they have advised us to maintain.
Yeah,
I'll just give you a data point. That other guy I told you about that's happened to.
We do have $27,000
to catch.
Okay. So are we?
It took
are we voting?
And he just kept on going.
Well, I still got questions.
Oh,
so
okay. Well, the quiet one.
Huh?
The quiet one, please.
I raised my hand a bunch of times and you were ignoring me. Okay, in there you didn't mention at all costs for safety equipment. Did you figure out how much it would cost for all the supplemental equipment, radios, PFDs, dry bags, all that stuff?
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, Dwayne, how much would it?
Well, I mean, do we need another dry bag? I mean, we've got.
Well, I don't
know.
Do we have?
But
lately, people have been complaining we don't have enough radios.
All the radios are dead. I don't know what
the
deal is with that. I'm going to take them home tonight and charge them. I mean, whatever. I think we don't need to have another dry bag. I think we have enough where.
So
any one day we're covered.
On the water at the same time, we're still covered.
Well, no, but. we don't.
The dry bag's $150. Radio. Mask,
yeah,
whistle,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, $150 for another drive.
Guys bring their own PFDs.
PFDs are $20 a shot.
So maybe a couple $100 to
that was his.
So
yeah,
then on here one of the emails you sent out you were talking about in the prepaid membership, it was one that you sent that didn't get to the woman but Ty forwarded it to the board. You said the prepaid people do not pay for 2018 because that would, and so I got the impression that the 5-year would include 2018.
Yeah, the 5-year would be 2018,
2019. Okay, so then there's four there, and then in the loan, the 5K loan, you said that they get 2 years of free membership. So there's, that would probably be 2018 as well, so that's three from there, so there's seven people that would not be paying dues in 2018. So that's coming out of 2018's budget as well, in addition to the other stuff. And then that's going to be, and then next year, that's also seven more people who aren't going to be paying dues next year. I just want to clarify it.
Well, it's not that they're not paying, it's a cash flow issue, which is different.
I know,
it's where the cash
I'm,
goes in and the cash goes out. That money would go in anyway.
Right.
And they're prepaid.
I know. I'm
okay.
Just saying that when we did the budget, we. Kind of
sure.
Estimated how many people would be paying this year, estimated how much would be coming in, so that money is already kind of factored into the budget.
And we'd need a cash flow to pay for our overhead per month, so
right.
If we don't have enough people coming in over and above these people that are doing the long-term thing that's going to a different canoe, we can't pay our rent, right? So we need to make sure we've got that covered.
And we have had a lot of new members. I admit there have been a lot of new members, but there's also a lot of people who haven't
not renewed.
Renewed yet, and a few of them have told us they are definitely not renewing. There are others that we haven't talked to, but we're not sure, so.
Do we know who the people are who were holding off paying dues because they're going to do the 5-year
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, I did. Some of them wanted to name anonymous and some are fine. I just didn't want to put it all out on the sheet, but I do have who exactly those all are.
So there's seven. Is that what you're saying? Does that count?
Well, I'm just saying that there's seven people that, based
right.
on his plan, will not be paying dues this year because their money is...
Why is that?
Because the money would go to the sale of the canoe.
The $4,000 ones. Who are the other three?
The three,
$5,000.
The people with the loans.
The $5,000.
They're not going.
and that stuff, that's a freebie.
But he's accounting it here, so it's what my budget is, it would not be going towards that. That's all I'm
trying
to
figure out. Can you
still
get the 5,000 from them if you don't give them a free membership?
Yeah, that's...
Because that's $200. That's $400.
Well, it's an accounting, it is an accounting problem, and it's a small number, but it just throws everything.
Would those guys be willing to still do that if it wasn't that? When we did the prepaid membership last year, we did a swag bag, so they got we spent about $100 on each one of them.
But even that got mixed up.
This proposal is $500, $400.
So the loan really isn't interest free. They're getting free membership, which is $400.
Thank you.
So they're getting what's the interest on $400? You know,
so is that it? So okay.
I'm just, well,
but
I mean,
that's
it's,
how
it's,
this
if
affects
it's,
the
you
budget.
You have to consider, too, is interest-free money. And so they would be getting more interest on their money than what their dues are.
We just went through that. I'm not sure that's the case.
No.
Right.
What's
the,
no, it's...
What's $400 on
a $5,000?
Yeah.
So that's...
I might take that deal.
No,
yeah,
what's the
you know, it's,
what would be the interest
it's a good
on
rate of return.
What would
yeah
be the interest on?
Because you only get nowadays.
It's 8%.
8%.
It's
8%.
14 months. Sponsorship for the $3,000, is that
14 months
for the life of the boat?
No,
it's 1 year.
It's
1 year. It's in the thing.
It's
so
1 year.
For 1 year.
For 1 year.
And they can renew if
they
want.
They
put their name on the
book.
See, that
sounds good.
So
this is why I have to sit down.
Yeah, I mean,
awesome.
The other thing is that we sell some more space on the boat.
Yeah.
So let's say this. Let's do this. Let's get a... let's vote.
No, no. I was saying. I think you misunderstood what
let's
I was
just vote
saying.
Okay.
That's fine. So, is that meaning do we have a motion or we vote?
Well,
yeah
it's a
motion.
There's
a motion.
It's a motion.
So
it's a motion
the motion. The motion would be to accept the proposal as Dave has laid out with the three people at 5,000, the four at 1,000, and the rest of the fundraising that he has. To purchase the Tahitian canoe.
Well, and I suppose before, if there's a, well, I mean, we could just... Let's
I
just
put
do
a motion on the floor.
Motion
that's
on the
motion.
Is
on
there
the
a
floor
second?
I'll second it.
All in favor? One, two, three, four, five. Motion passes.
I need to think more.
That's okay. No, you know, it's just not unanimous. It doesn't need to be unanimous.
It's not that I don't want to do this. I just need to think this out. And I can't do it with everybody.
Did you get the email?
Yes, I did.
Like before the meeting?
Uh-huh.
So you had time.
No, I didn't.
You had more time than I did.
No, I didn't. I was taking care of elderly parents during that time.
Got it. Hold on.
No, I had no time.
I would.
So, per the bylaws, the motion passes. We have a quorum. We have nine people here, right? Did I count it right?
Yeah, there
and we
five,
have five
and five
and
four.
Yeah. I'm not a voter.
I know. Five and four. Five. Yeah.
Yeah. What? I'm not a voting member.
Oh. You can't vote unless there's a tie.
So, there you have it. Go get your vote.
Go get your vote. So, do you want to collect the specifics of.
When do you get a vote?
Voting against or abstain? I mean, you need that for the minutes.
Okay. So
it's
all in favor.
Names.
Raise your hand again. All in favor. For the record, we have Kyle, Bob, Phil.
Well, you
have
five.
Dave. Anyway. All opposed?
As is. As the plan was, yeah.
One. All abstain.
Yeah.
Three.
Say their names. Who we got?
The opposed, I already did the before. The opposed is Teresa. The abstained, you abstained?
Leslie.
Yeah.
Leslie.
Kay, Gail, and Leslie. What would you modify?
I don't like the loans. If there's another way, and I would have. The only questions I had gotten asked about funding was from you, about the budget, and I would have rather work through the budget to free up more money than deal with loans, to be honest. I know he was trying to be conservative because of the tax situation, but I would have really much rather worked with.
Well, let's
say we pay the loans early.
Pay them early.
You can use it in five.
I'm just opposed to the idea of a loan. That's basically it. So
yeah, we're not happy about it either. It's part of that risk. So if you come up with a way we can avoid it, I'm all for it.
Yep. Whether it's a fundraiser
I'm not saying that.
It's that I'm just against the idea of this club taking a loan. I don't want us, you know. I know you're saying we have an asset that we can get rid of if we need to, but just not to mention, I would have preferred to vote on whether or not we're going to acquire a new canoe, and then the next step is it going to be Tahitian? So, you know, as opposed to the policy or the proposal already kind of picking it. That's all.
We own a Tahitian canoe.
So.
Now, Dave, you got to pay for it.
Can I see the one check that you just got so I can record it?
So that, if you want to talk about it like air, we've already had enough fun for the night.
You know what? Can postpone that.
All right.
Okay.
So the next meeting, I propose to be April 22nd. Any thoughts on that?
We're going to paddle to the pig.
Oh, no, we're paddling to the pig.
You have to paddle to get your pig.
Right, so we'll do it. I know, well, that's when Laura wanted to do the beach exam, and she couldn't.
Are you going to be dancing to the full moon, kind of?
Well, the next meeting is April 22nd.
Okay.
Okay.
Howling for
May. April 22nd.
Everybody has a different perspective.
I think I'm in town.
And this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh, we have to make a motion.
You do?
Yes.
All right, somebody can.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstain?
Wayner's opposed. He wants to just keep his.